Super Gamecast 64, episode 112. Today on the show, we got some classic PlayStation hardware. Harry Potter just leaked himself. Ew. So many different layoffs at Telltale. Aww. All that and more on the other side of this episode. Guys, can somebody get the DJ scared before he hits it?
Oh, no. It's the dude season.
It's the...
Try to take your mask off and scare him. Ghost sound?
Huh?
Is that your ghost sound?
Yeah.
Ooh-wee, the ghost sound.
Ooh-wee. Ooh-wee, boo, it's spectacular. It's episode 112.
Did you say boo light spectacular?
Yeah.
I was just calling attention to it because I didn't like it.
Spooktober begins the beginning. Episode 112. This is Super Gamecast 64. It's a comedy show. It's also a video game show. If you don't laugh, you're a sociopath. I'm your host, Matt. With me, as always,
it's Skeleton Kevin.
And?
Pumpkin Tyler.
I am. I think.
Tyler's head is painted to look like a jack-o'-lantern. Also, we are all completely nude for the first ever nude episode of Super Gamecast 64.
It all started.
This is being multicast on all the devices.
On Skype.
It all...
for our premium users.
It Snapchat premium. All the games are here, and now you are too. So let's get kicked off with this this episode here. Once again, table wobbly, knees weeks, arm spaghetti. It's episode 112 already. Kevin, did you have something that you wanted to kick off our show with?
Yeah, no, I just wanted to tell everybody that we're nude.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, definitely nude. So what happened was that I had my my costume prepared.
Well,
I was the classic ghost.
You don't have to lie. What happened was Tyler was eating KFC. And he sneezed into his chicken tenders that were covered in the spicy hot barbecue sauce, and it got all over our clothes.
Yes.
So once Matt took off his... I mean, okay, so for those of you that don't know, we record at Matt's house.
Yeah.
Once Matt started taking off his clothes, Tyler and I took the hint. We felt comfortable, so we followed suit.
It's a pretty naked kind of society I have here.
Yep. It's pretty great. But we're all back to back to back.
Guys, there's so much shit. I thought, like, for 1 second, I was like, oh, man, October has so many game releases. It's probably not going to be that crazy for news. Psych, that's the wrong number. So much news.
You know,
guys,
you probably would guess, you'd probably guess that Tyler's the hairy one. You'd be wrong.
No, you'd be very wrong.
It's Matt.
It's me. PlayStation Classic, guys. Let's talk about this for a second. We had an announcement come out. PlayStation's like, you guys like Nintendo Classic, right? Y'all like Neo Geo Classic, right?
Nope.
Did you buy any of those games?
I bought the SNES Classic, not the Neo. No, Neo Geo, they're actually coming out with a like arcade machine, a little teeny tiny one for like $100. All I was making the joke is that Sony is very late to the party on this.
Oh.
But there is like a little Neo Geo Classic you can get for $100, I think, this holiday. And it's basically like this mini arcade stick. It has a HDMI out because it's not reasonable to play it on this, what, 6-10-inch screen or whatever.
They're doing that for PlayStation, aren't they?
That's what we're talking about. PlayStation Classic, baby! It doesn't have a cool little screen, unfortunately. It is 20 games. They've only announced, I think, like 5 at this point. Like Ridge Racer, Final Fantasy 6... Or not 7. No, it is 7.
How about a Virtual Boy Classic? I want a Virtual Boy Classic.
What, isn't that just a VR?
No, because it sucked.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And nowadays, if you just strap a Virtual Boy... Is Nintendo, like, the forerunner of everything? Is everyone's like, lol, you're gonna have to put up this little goggles on your table and look through it all the time. Who wants to play a game like that? Flash forward 15, 20 years... Everyone has goggles on their goddamn face.
You know, I really think they should consider building in the downfalls of all the old systems into the new ones. Like, make like a Sega Game Gear, right?
Yeah.
And they make you put the batteries in, and you get to play for 22 minutes, and then it dies.
I used to have a Sega Nomad, and that thing used the cartridge. Breaking in the studio, Kevin is about to try and chew gum while recording. Very interesting.
Already have been, baby. That's the thing he doesn't realize. Also,
damn.
I'm going to put it into his back hair. This dude's like a labradoodle.
Fuck off, motherfucker. Just because I have long ass back hair doesn't mean you gotta chew. How do you chew so quietly?
Wow. He definitely doesn't when he's on Xbox.
No.
Well, that's because I'm crunching on those unpopped popcorn kernels, you know?
Delicious, crunchy pop. Let's get back in the PlayStation Classic, because I want you guys to know that there's only 20 games and this thing is $100. Why you do that?
Well, what are the games?
They've only announced 5 of them. Like I said, I think it's a Ridge Racer, a Final Fantasy.
Final Fantasy VIII?
It's probably Final Fantasy VIII.
Yeah, I think it is. I'm really dropping the ball on this, because here's what happened. They were like, PlayStation Classic, 20 games! Here are 5, and none of those jumped out to me. I believe there was a Final Fantasy VIII, and then they're like, $100. This is emulated content. We're not selling discs here. Like, I don't understand why Sony thinks that their tiny PlayStation, which is just a piece of plastic with a chipset in it, is inherently worth more money than... I mean, it's going to need more hardware or hard drive space, because PlayStation games are inherently bigger.
Yep.
When you look at it, aren't we all just a chipset covered in a piece of plastic?
Is the world a simulation?
Yeah.
Spooky fact number one. The world is a simulation, and you know how we know that? Because Elon Musk, more news.
Elon Musk
just got arrested for fraud, and if they're arresting him for fraud, he knows.
Coincidentally, he also just got voted for superlatives in his company, most likely to become the Green Goblin.
That's very Oscorp!
I'm out.
It's basically, yeah. PlayStation saw that Elon Musk was getting arrested for fraud, realized we were in a simulation, thought that they could charge $100 to people for 2 controllers and a dinky PlayStation. If you're a fan of the original PlayStation, you may get this thing.
Hey, Tyler.
Yeah.
Do you know why Elon Musk was removed as the chairman of Tesla?
Because he was most likely to be Geralt in the movie.
No. He doesn't even look anything like Mads Mikkelsen.
Yes.
No, it's just he doesn't look anything
they
like him.
They look like they could be brothers.
Shout out to
Not
that episode.
Not even close. Right. Sorry, Mads.
Do you know why?
No, I don't.
Okay, so he got investigated by the Securities and Exchange Commission for fraud. I think it's pronounced fraud.
Fraud?
Yes.
Is that German thing?
Yes.
I'm not going to remember those titles.
If I understood correctly, he valuated... His stock was valuated at $419 per unit. But he thought it would be funny to bump that up to 420 because that's the weed number.
The quote of the complaint by the SEC was that he changed the 420 of the share because, quote, he had just found out the relevance of it to the marijuana culture and thought his girlfriend would be funny, end quote.
He's like, listen, honey... I just had a weed on the Joe Rogan Experience, and let me tell you,
he smokes a blunt on Joe Rogan.
I never needed to build a rocket to go to space.
Elon Musk is.
I get it. His joke. Funny joke. Funny weed joke.
Elon Musk, scary. PlayStation Classic, too expensive. But thanks to Tyler's investigative duties, we have found Kevin. Not Kevin. Tyler. Sorry, you guys didn't have to
left. That's what's
yeah,
wrong.
But we've been playing this way for
2 episodes.
This is level 3.
This is it.
Tell us what those 5 games are.
Final Fantasy VII. I don't know why you did that. That was stupid. Tekken 3. Ridge Racer Type 4. What the hell is Jumping Flash?
Jumping Flash.
Sorry. Jumping Flash! There's an exclamation point.
Oh,
here.
Right.
Wild Arms. That. I don't know if you guys ever played Wild Arms. That's a good game.
Yeah, it's that one on Switch where you shoot your arms at each other.
No. That's just arms. That's regular arms.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you're a fan of any of those... Like 4 JRPGs, 3 JRPGs, 1 racer, and something else. I mean, I would wait for the full 20 game collection to come out, but Final Fantasy VII and all these, they're on everything. You get on your phone, you get on your PC.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's, they just announced all those Final Fantasies for
Switch
and
Xbox.
I heard you can play Final Fantasy VII on Skyrim now.
You probably can.
You probably play goddamn Final Fantasy on your fucking. Refrigerator.
TV. Yeah. Oh, that's
on your TV.
You know someone. Wait a second.
Shut up. It's okay. No,
I did a bad job.
TV. The one thing that you already play Final Fantasy on.
I bet you play Final Fantasy on your TV, you loser.
Hell yeah. Speaking of people losers. Who have... No, see, fuck. Don't... Now you put that... All right, well, speaking of losers, Telltale laid off all their staff.
Oh, God.
No, right. I was going to say, speaking of people who are losing
you
out...
You said it, not me.
You fucking said it. Speaking of people who are losing out, Telltale Games, y'all know Telltale Games. They made such games like The Walking Dead and Borderlands, the point-and-click one, and Minecraft Story Mode. They... had some layoffs in November of last year, or it was like early this year. I have been saying for a while that Telltale games aren't that good. Telltale has historically kind of hidden their successes or their failures. They don't come out with like big numbers, so it's kind of hard to see whether or not they were above, not above board, but if they were a profitable company. It turns out the only game that Telltale ever put out that made a lot of money was the original Walking Dead and Minecraft. Everything else has been a fiscal failure, and they were riding off of investment money, which is why, in the middle of the final season of The Walking Dead...
I was going to say, surprise everybody.
They laid off about 95% of their staff. There is a skeleton crew of about 20 people who remain at the company.
Ooh, that's spooky.
Hey, spooky fact number two! The skeleton crew. Not really a fact, just a spooky thing. But they're working on a Minecraft story mode.
Hey, joke all you want. Losing your job is scary.
Scary fact number three. I really hope that all those people get there.
Seriously, that's some shit. Did you see them talking on Twitter and everything like that?
Yes,
like
hold on. I'm going to lose my train of thought. Okay. It's, fuck, goddammit. I forgot what I was saying. What were you saying? Go ahead.
Well, you were talking about how they brought Howley in, is his name? One of the CEOs that they hired last November. During the...
Yeah, he's the one who did, like, the older layoffs.
Correct.
Yeah.
He's pretty well known, I guess, for being a liquidator. And so...
He ran it up.
Kind of on the wall.
Oh.
A lot of their devs were running really late nights and...
Crunch
times and... Just wasn't good. So they took to Twitter post-layoffs and voiced their opinion.
They are really upsetty. One of them started a class action lawsuit. The thing about this is that they were laid off literally, like... Imagine working an 18-hour crunch shift, and then your boss is like, hey, why don't you come on into the meeting room, and you sit down, and they're like, hey, you're not, you're bye, no severance,
you're
done,
bye?
You're done now.
Also, you have a half hour to get out of the building.
Pretty much, like that, they went from zero to you have no jobs real fast, and that...
Like 100 to 0, I guess that would be.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Started at the top, and now they're at the bottom, and it's not because these games, well, the games, like I said... I have thought the past few Telltale games, maybe like the past half dozen, are not that great. And I wasn't surprised there. We've heard reports of like long nights and stuff like that. Like Kevin said, ridiculous crunch shifts, ridiculous amounts of hours. But the thing that was the most surprising is that they did this in the middle of The Walking Dead, the final season, which was arguably probably the one thing that would save them. Maybe they just didn't get enough season pass sales, or they couldn't stay afloat anymore. But long story short, not only is Telltale in process of studio closure, they're not closed yet, but The Walking Dead, the final season, is donezo. We got 2 episodes out of 4. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But yeah, I mean, guys, did you really care? Do you care at all about Telltale? Because I'm the guy who played all the Telltale games.
It's right, not I that I them. Don't care. I just never got into the Telltale games. So, I care about those people's jobs and everything, but...
Here's the thing that I'm going to... This is a hot take, guys. Hot take. Spooktober. Hot take. Controversial opinions. Everybody started getting behind Telltale when people got laid off, but no one ever bought their games. The true. Telltale layoffs was one of the most hypocritical things I've ever seen because there was so much support for the developers, but no one actually... ever supported their work. There are so many people who are hopping on this, oh man, I really love the Telltale train, like it's so sad to see, but none of you people bought their games. And to that point, their games were not that great. Post Walking Dead, there's a few Borderlands. I'm not saying that anybody deserves to get fired, but a bad development team that undergoes changes, loses a lot of their good original creativity, is managed poorly, and does not sell anything that actually makes money, of course they're going to get shut down. I mean, you got bad management practices, not great game development, I'm sorry.
It doesn't matter what business you're in. If you don't
do the thing you're supposed to do, you're going to... And so, yeah, it's sad because Telltale did pretty much relaunch the point-and-click adventure series, and the adventure genre, I should say, in general, and I thank them for that. But I don't really, I don't, like, it's this whole faux appreciation of, y'all really want to go, I will pay someone to sit down and play all of Game of Thrones, the first season through, and then tell me they actually want a season two of that. I'm mad that Wolf Among Us is getting canceled.
Yeah, that seemed to be the one that
that's like unanimously the only good one.
Was the good one.
Yeah, you know? 100%. The thing that I mean, a lot of this is coming from me being salty because I've paid full price for Walking Dead final season, got two episodes, and at the end of the day, here's the thing. The Walking Dead started, and Telltale as a company pretty much started with these characters, Lee and Clementine. We have followed Clementine through 4 to 5 different iterations of these Walking Dead seasons and spinoffs and the Michonne version. We finally get her end story, and they, instead of holding on to a few people to finish that up, they leave 20 people to finish the fucking Minecraft thing. And that is the biggest smack in the face. All your day one fans who've been following this character, you're going to cancel that project in the middle of the season. And to that, like, fuck you to the executives. But on the other hand, like, some of those game devs, like, guys, you gotta step it up, man. So, sad news to all the people who got laid off. I really hope you guys get better jobs, and I hope you actually you do well there. That's good. So, sad stuff. Spooky fact number 3, as Kevin said, losing your job, not good. Be good at your job to do the thing. Here's the thing. Fucking, I don't care, dude. Like, everyone is crying about Telltale. Go read any of my reviews for The Walking Dead. They should have shut down, like, a year and a half ago. And, I don't know, maybe paid their fucking employees some severance. That would have been the smarter thing to do. Not the season finale of Walking Dead. And then cancel it halfway through and then remove the game. Sorry, I'm salty about all that. Guys, here's some good news. We talked about Reigns last time.
Love good news.
Everyone loves Reigns, right?
Yeah.
Tyler?
Reigns is an excellent game.
All right, so that's a 3-person recommendation on a mobile game. Reigns, or Reigns Her Majesty. And you might be thinking, man, I don't like playing games on my phone because I don't like phone games. Well, you dumbo, you can play it on your Switch, which is basically just a bigger version of your phone now.
That's, and we all know you poop with it.
Exactly. I mean, that's what it is. You just can't make phone calls on it yet. So,
yet.
If you want, you can get Reigns King and Queen. It's the pack of the first two games. It's $6, right?
Eight bucks.
Thank you, Tyler, great for the price save there. Point. Yeah, because it's $2 more expensive than both the Android games, and to have that on your Switch is amazing. It's a fantastic game, and hopefully, maybe we'll see a console release for Reigns Game of Thrones.
I mean, if you don't want it now, if you don't want to pay $8 when it's like $3 per, you know, you could always wait until it goes on sale, and it's like the same price.
Yeah,
as your phone.
To be honest, I can think of many worse ways to spend $8. And
I bought Thumper for $8.
When it comes down to it, honestly, spending money on mobile games is one of the things that I think is like a bad way to spend money. Not because like I don't think it's a valuable thing, but in my mind, if I spend money on a mobile game, it's something like inherent about my old free to play kind of, you know, fuck free microtransactions.
Pay
thing.
To win.
Yeah. So when you talk about spending eight, who spends $8 on mobile games? Like okay, Tyler, but you, yeah, I mean, but you play a lot. But this
I mean,
is
that's
like
the majority of my time.
But this is like a really damn good mobile game. I'm just saying, Reigns, man. We've mentioned it so many times. If you have slept on Reigns because it was mobile, whatever, I understand. Get it on Switch. $8.
I'm gonna download Reigns again,
dude. It's really good. I haven't played Her Majesty yet. Has anyone else played Her Majesty?
No, I have not. No.
Rough. The Game of Thrones one is coming.
I don't know how good that's gonna be. I mean, you know, it's
depends on who does the writing because that game is very. It heavily relies on the cards and the writing of the cards.
Fair.
Guys, I feel like we've been talking about stuff that I like.
Oh,
and
heck.
I talked about a lot of stuff that I don't like and got real mad about it.
Downwell is on mobile.
Downwell, that's Devolver Ooh, Digital. Y'all know nice. Downwell. If you don't know Downwell, that's somebody cool. somebody give us a small little...
Downwell, it's like you got gun boots and you fall down a well. Like...
That's and it's kind of cartoony.
Yeah,
well, it's very cartoony.
It's a roguelike, sorta. It's very arcadey.
You'll enjoy it. Download Downwell. Arcade. It's is it out right now?
Yeah. Let me just make sure.
How many dollars is it?
$3,
guys.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Downwell was like $10 when it came out.
Yeah, like remember back in the I was just gonna say remember back in the day when Apple it was like $5 for this game. Every game was like $4 or $5, and then the free to play model came up. And now games that cost an exorbitant amount of money, like fucking $8, is so cheap. But I look at it like $100 in my brain. I don't know why.
Right.
I feel like I've been talking shit on some people. I've been airing out my grievances about Telltale canceling The Walking Dead halfway through.
Can I share another spooky fact with you?
Yeah, dude, spooky fact number four.
Yeah, so here's a spooky fact about how to afford mobile games.
Hell yeah.
Sign up for Google surveys.
Okay.
And then when you go places, they ask you questions, or if you Google search stuff, they ask you questions.
Nice.
And you get like
10, 20, yeah, 30 cents yeah. per question.
Sometimes up to a dollar.
When you're talking about mobile games, no mobile game is going to be more than $10 ever. Right, I mean, you might get like a special edition $15 crazy thing, but like, yeah, I can understand. Google surveys.
Yep.
You can do that.
Over time, you know, just
get some cash.
Yeah, you get some cash.
If you work for Google, apparently you can't, otherwise they'll cut off your head. But you can sneak it. I've been talking a lot. Guys, we'll do like a cross news segment here.
Okay.
Tyler, you're going to talk about a game that you like and you talk about a lot of time. And then Kevin's going to talk about a game he talks about all the time. Flip a coin. Coin noise. It looks like Tyler goes first on this one.
Awesome. It's because I'm on the left. That's not why.
Hell yeah.
So, Slay the Spire, y'all. It's a good game.
You've heard him talk about it time and time again.
They have brought out a new update with all new items, and when they do updates for this game, they put out probably, I want to say, 10% more content every update.
I remember you saying, when you first talked about it, that it was just like packs of, not cards, but just tons of stuff every time with the free updates, so much so that there was like an exorbitant amount of shit already in the game from like the few patches they had put into it.
Yeah, absolutely. There were probably 700 different things you can touch with that.
And this is another big patch-em?
Yeah, there was. Hell yeah. They probably added more, probably something like 50 new relics. They changed what some of the cards do. They added new cards. I mean, when I say they change 10%, they add 10%, I mean, that's the new stuff. They take about 20% of what's remaining and fix
balance.
It.
Hell yeah, dude.
It's a balancing thing, and they try to make it as difficult as possible without being extremely frustrating.
I mean, here's the thing about mobile games in general, is that if you see a mobile game...
This is a PC game.
PC, sorry. I get that confused with the other one where it's like the cult fucking... I don't know.
Underhand.
Yes.
Yeah. Both are good games. But Slay the Spire, anytime you see any developer consistently keeping up with free patches, you know that if it's not like profitable for them, that is something they really like and enjoy, and it's worthwhile to check out. Slay the Spire on PC. This game is how much? Is like 10 or 15 bucks or 20 bucks?
Slay the Spire 15.
Okay, yeah. If you're looking for some good stuff, some good indie content, there you go, 15. And they're constantly releasing updates. Kevin!
What's up, boy?
What's your favorite game?
It's this little game you may have heard of before.
But don't even say it. I don't want you to say the title of the game. I just want you to start talking about the news, and we'll see if people can guess it.
All right, so there's this multiplayer.
Yeah. Is this going to be way harder?
Figured out yet?
It's a multiplayer thing that's been coming.
I did. I figured it out. Do I get to guess?
You figure out my puzzle?
My
farming puzzle.
My riddle trick?
My riddle trick.
Spooky fact number five. If a sphinx, if you find him in a maze, like in that Harry Potter book, and he's like, what is the game Kevin's talking about? It's Stardew Valley, guys. Just fucking tell the Sphinx that. It was a double spooky fact, and I also brought you in on information you previously had unknown.
Eric Baroni.
Yeah? Who's that?
Concerned Ape, the guy who...
Okay. There's so many names. I'm just like, which
cool,
Brook?
It's cool.
Stardew. All these games, I don't even know. Chuckle Ape.
Eric Baroni tweeted today about...
What was that one? What's the ape one?
Concerned Ape, Eric Baroni.
Is he Stardew or is
he? Yeah, he's
okay.
Stardew.
Okay, so Concerned Ape, aka Man Who Made Stardew, says.
He said that the Switch multiplayer is in QA.
Hell yeah. For those
no
who don't know.
No further updates.
QA, quality assurance. What that means is it's right, it's coming. It's coming. Right now, you got them people hunkered over their
Hold
Switch.
Hold on to your butts.
They're playing it for hours and hours on end, making sure it's a good experience, which means it's in its final development stages, one could hope, coming soon. I've been waiting on that. I really want it. I really want that Switch multiplayer.
You know, I've been waiting for it.
Hell yeah. You adjusting?
Ow.
Tyler's adjusting. He's got to sit down. We don't have, like, the best of setups over here. It's okay. But you know who does have a decent setup now? PlayStation. You know why? Not because they're stupid bullshit PlayStation Classic, but because they finally got with, I don't know, let's just say the modern era of gaming, and have now allowed cross-play. Everyone, real quick, I just want us to give us a nice soft warm of applause. Round of applause. And then, while you're doing that, understand the fact that you are now living in a time in which all video games are cross-play on one. Like, that's
pretty dope.
It's seriously monumental. So
y'all did it. You can play together.
Claps to Sony, and then Sony, what the fuck took you so long? You're ruining everything for everyone. You're blowing it. No, I mean, they're not blowing it anymore. But you blew it once, you blew it twice, and this time you better not blow it. It's happened, guys. I think when I was talking about, when this will happen, I think I said 2022. 2020. I didn't think we were going to get this for a while. But apparently, the Fortnite machine is so crushing that Epic can just bully whoever the hell they want around. You saw them do it with Nintendo. They were like, Nintendo's like, we don't want it. We have kids. They're like, shut the fuck up. You put Fortnite on there.
Think for of our free, families.
For free. If Fortnite's on Switch for free, you don't need Nintendo Online. Can we just, for one second, Nintendo's
That's
like,
crazy.
Nintendo's like, we're going to launch a service that has, like 8 or 9 games to play online, and Fortnite's like, we are the biggest pull for you to get online, and you're gonna do it for free.
Please look forward to this.
Right? That is some fuck you money Fortnite has. So not only did they do that, they did it to Sony. I think Sony was gonna hold out because they're the market share. You know, they have the biggest hold on the hardware market. But so many people have been complaining that they just said fuck it. Fortnite is the first game to do it. If history is any indication, Rocket League will probably come next.
That'd be nice.
That's the one that gets...
That'd be real nice.
That's like the secondary peak of crossplay next to Fortnite.
Is that on PS4?
What? All... Yeah, all the...
Rocket League is on all the platforms?
Rocket League's on everything except for phones. Whereas Fortnite's on phones, Rocket League you can't get on phones. But Rocket League...
Can you play Fortnite with your Switch on your phone?
Yeah. Well, yes.
It's cross-phone?
Yeah. So right now, the Nintendo... Before this happened...
Don't hurt yourself, kid.
Dude, it's... Honestly, it is kind of confusing. Before this happened, it was essentially like Switch players could cross-play with Xbox people by logging into their Xbox account on the Switch, which was kind of weird. And then you can inherently cross-play with people on mobile if you allowed those things. PC players would be populated too. But PlayStation people, they could only play with PC and mobile. They weren't tied to Switch or Xbox. If I remember correctly, I might be wrong about one or two things. Long story short, they're like, yo, you can play with Xbox people and PC people now.
Go have a ball. Knock yourself out.
This was more of a political decision. Go ahead, Tyler. Sorry.
Nah, it's not important.
Nah. This was more of a political decision because we knew from, I think, about season 4 or season 3 of Fortnite, one night everyone got on and started noticing that other gamer tags, I think I've said this multiple times.
Oh, yeah, I remember this.
Yeah, they were just different. And if you look at how Xbox does their gamer tags versus PlayStation does their gamer tags, Xbox can allow spaces. And people very quickly realized, holy shit, I'm playing against an Xbox player on my PlayStation. That tech was in play. That tech worked. Flash forward, what are we?
Like a full year.
A year later, and they're like, okay, you can do it. And it's not like they've changed all that. I mean, I'm sure they've tweaked that tech, but the connectivity existed a year ago. The politics it took to get here, I think Sony realized that Fortnite ain't going away. If anything, with the new season of, or the new generation of consoles coming out in the next year or two, if the last thing people remember about PlayStation is they were the system that wouldn't let me play with any of my other friends on Fortnite, probably a bad look for the new hardware. So smart on them to do that. Guys.
Speaking of generations.
Monster Hunter.
No.
I was just trying to spark a fire.
Did you see what the gates of hell look like nowadays?
The gates of hell. In what depiction? Where? Who is telling what the gates of hell look like?
When you die and you end up in hell, like we all will.
Yes.
Naturally.
If you subscribe to that.
When the gates open on the inside, you know what's on the inside?
I've played Dante's Inferno, so...
You're still wrong. You've played Fortnite, and you've listened to all those kids.
Is that what that...
It's a bunch of 7-year-olds doing Fortnite dances. We like Fortnite.
You're half right. That's not what hell looks like. That's what Halloween 2018 looks like.
Oh.
2018 Halloween... Let's just... Heck. Okay. Sidebar. 2018 holiday top three costumes, Fortnite people with hoodies and masks, Ugandan Knuckles, because wouldn't people do that shitty meme? And then also...
A moth
holding a lamp. Yes.
Hey, by the way, when you said if you subscribe to that and all I could picture was like Satan on YouTube, can you do like a devil voice?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Where are we at?
All right. Fix it in post.
All right, go ahead.
So Satan's on YouTube and he's like,
all right, guys, that's my time. Thanks for tuning in to my fashion, my makeup vlog. Please like and subscribe down below.
And he like points, and instead of like a YouTube, you know, like the little magic box that you can click to like click a video or something, it's literally just like a portal to hell opens and there's people getting tortured. He's like, please like and subscribe.
He's like,
smash that bell.
And then and you fucking click it. It's just the tomes of the underworld. And it erupts and just screaming corpse. He's like,
thanks, guys, for your new content every Tuesdays.
And then he's like,
owner of Jake Paul's dead yet. I gotta get that sweet ass down here.
Hell fucking yeah. So if you want, PS4 crossplay is a thing. Guys. Fucking, there's gonna be so many moths. I have an ex-girlfriend who's like deathly afraid of moths, and every time I see a moth meme, I'm just like, this is probably fucking terrible.
This internet can fit so many moths.
Like, literally, it's just overnight, all of Facebook and Reddit just became moths, and I can only imagine.
Fortnite, Matt.
That just woke. What?
Overwatch and Fortnite. Not overnight. What the hell's the matter with you?
Overnight. Oh, my God. Tyler with the deep one.
Fortwatch.
Fork knife. God.
I played Fortwatch. It's like the sequel to Firewatch.
I just want to throw this out there to all you young kids listening. If you're looking for one of us to look up to the most, I'm going to tell you
definitely
right now,
Kevin.
It's me, because I kickstarted Fortnite.
He kickstarted. look, we got...
What a waste.
We got advanced copies of the $40 version
of
Fortnite.
Of Save the World, baby.
And I was like, damn, we got in on this new hot game.
Yeah, new hotness.
Holy shit. I stopped playing. They're like, Battle Royale's a thing. I'm like, fuck it. It'll never become a thing.
Back then, did you think for a moment that this game is going to change the internet forever?
I'm sure there's audio proof of all of us being like, that's probably the dumbest shit I've ever heard. Why don't they do the Save the World thing that I wanted? And then, holy shit. Anyways, speaking of things that we all wanted for a long, 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 long time, and now it's all but confirmed. This is hot. Hot off the presses. Fresh, hot out the kitchen. It's the brand new edition.
Remix,
I think you did that.
Remix to Ignition?
Remix to Ignition. What's the fire spell?
3, 2, 1, Shoe Nice.
Shoe Nice. Dude, what if you can play as Shoe Nice in this new Harry Potter game?
I want a Shoe Nice fighter game.
Because his powers really are magical.
Where each move, you consume something different.
Look, all right.
Different power.
Pause the goddamn pause. If you're listening and you don't know who Shoe Nice is, go on YouTube.
Well, wait.
No. Pause the shit. Go on YouTube, type in Shoe Nice, one word, like shoe as in the thing you put on your foot, nice as in like the opposite
nice.
Of angry. Nice. And you might... Opposite of mean. You might be confused as to what you're seeing. Just click the first thing. And if it's not a man eating something he shouldn't, then you're at the wrong place. Come back when you're
Isn't
done.
Isn't that all YouTube? Most of YouTube?
Yes, welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that 1, 2, 3 Shoe Nice. God damn it, Kevin. God damn it.
YouTube's like, you may also like Satan.
Do you guys think I could reasonably do a Shoe... Alright, Shoe Nice does slam a lot of alcohol. It's like one of the things he does.
That's an understatement, dude.
Yeah, like a whole bottle at once. Do you think that I could do a Shoe Nice costume for Halloween and just get away with just slamming? I swear to God, if you steal it, and you on the internet too.
So good.
And you just slam, like, bottles. Sure, you have, like, a bottle of Jack Daniels as iced tea, and you guys want to see this shit, and you fucking...
3, 2, 1, Shoe Nice.
That shit...
You guys all get it now, because you went and watched it.
3, 2, 1, Shoe... Yes. Tyler, have you never seen a Shoe Nice video?
No.
Oh, man. Tyler...
This is a live reaction.
Have fun
it's
tonight.
Absolute vodka. We have to keep going with the show. We're going to talk about this, but Tyler, you watch this and then I guess audibly react if you feel the need. Harry Potter RPG.
What a lead in, man.
Right.
I know you set it up before the Shoe Nice thing, but like, let's give him a second.
Okay. Harry Potter RPG, guys. Calm your tits. Calm all parts of your body because you're going to need to after this shit. A late late on the eve of, I think it was October 1st, baby, or like early morning Tuesday, some shit popped up on Reddit. User, I think his name was Vape This Bro or something Bro like Vape, that. Some shit.
Some Bro Vape.
He said he was at a mall and was approached for a group survey, focus group kind of thing. Other people had to sign NDAs. There was no filming allowed, but the company who was doing it didn't confiscate phones. They didn't make him sign an NDA. And what popped up was a minute-long trailer of him filming off his phone, so not the best quality. But it is dead-ass is a AAA immersive Harry Potter RPG.
Some badass music.
It was really well done. And here's the thing. As soon as I saw this, I said, this is real because no one goes to the effort of making this. The visuals, the engine, you can see the gameplay. No one does this as a hoax.
But why?
Oh, Tyler's now.
Why did you do that? Oh my, yeah, you should cry.
Tyler.
You should cry.
Tyler's watching. What's the numbers at the end of his thing? Shoenice23? What's the username? Can you give me that info, Tyler, real quick? Shoenice22.
That was
Shoenice,
really close.
Shoenice22, you YouTube that, and you just go down the whole
thing. Shoenice23 is something completely different.
That's the sequel. You're not ready for that shit yet.
No, you're not.
So there's a video. It's about a minute long. There is a description with it. I'm just going to kind of read it verbatim, just to get this information out there. Kind of a little bit fast, I guess, because it's kind of lengthy. You guys can, chime in as you feel.
Sure.
Set in the 19th century, that means 1800s for y'all who can't do the minus one thing, Wizarding World. So this isn't Harry Potter and his gang. This is old school 1800s Wizarding World. It is a third person open world action RPG that centers around your custom character who has unique abilities and is now late accepted to Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. You don't get the first few years. You're coming in mid-semester. You are a newly arrived fifth-year student to Hogwarts. You have a gift for magic with a unique ability to track and identify remnants of a ancient power. So no Voldemort stuff, but there is some ancient powers. Upon arrival, strange events begin to happen in the Forbidden Forest and within the castle walls, and you and a professor embark on a journey through both familiar and never-before-seen locations to bring light to the truth behind these mysterious occurrences. So what they're saying is that you'll be able to explore, Hogwarts, stuff you know from the movies and the books, stuff you don't know. More on this. On your quest, you will craft potions, master new spells, and discover fantastical beasts. That makes me think, the verbiage of that makes me think that this will be officially announced, like, the week of when Fantastic Beasts 2 comes out. Do they do, like, a Wizarding World convention towards the end of the year? Or is
it
that...
It feels like every small town now has, like, a Harry Potter day.
But is there, like, how Disney has their big, like, Disney Infinity or whatever the hell? Like, I feel like that... If that's not happening before the end of the year, Fantastic Beasts is when this will get officially announced. Anyways, where was it? Yeah, you'll battle dark wizards, goblins, and other supernatural enemies, and uncover the truth about your destiny and the fate of the Wizarding World that lies in your hands. There's a slew of features, but I'm not going to go over those, because at this point, it is just conjecture. We don't know. But it's from what they're saying, it's an open world game where you'll be able to custom create a witch or wizard, pick your house. You go into Hogwarts, you do classes. You're also fighting people. I think Kevin said, or maybe it was Tyler, someone said they thought they saw something about forbidden curses or some shit.
Yes.
You can crucio some first years, boys. Like, that's how they do it. Remember when Harry comes back?
Defense against the dark arts and you kill someone in the first class.
Hell yeah. And that's a thing, too.
Snape
is
like, congratulations. He's not in this game.
Clearly, you didn't defend yourself.
Snape, this is pre-Snape.
Maybe he has ancestors.
Snape's ancestors?
Yes.
Yeah, because that's how surnames work.
Guys, there's not a lot that we know about Harry Potter RPG, unconfirmed.
I thought you were just going to say Harry Potter. I was like...
I'm pretty
sure we know a bit about Harry Potter.
The title I thought I saw was Harry Potter Magic Awakened. Now, there was rumors that Rocksteady was working on this title instead of the rumored Justice League game. Turns out, probably not true because sources have reached out to Rocksteady and they're like, nah, we ain't doing that, fam.
You want to know what I think?
What do you think?
Yes.
You want to know what I think?
I think you should talk in a regular voice.
I think they probably shouldn't call this Harry Potter anything.
Right, because it's before Harry Potter.
Yeah.
It's just Harry Potter.
It should be called, like, the Fantastic Beasts or the Wizarding World of...
Yeah, the Wizarding
World. But Harry Potter has so much selling power.
They should call it Wizard Kill.
Wizard... Fuck Killer Abaddon Cadaver.
Wizard Kill.
Wizard Ultra. Scrolls.
You know what? I think this is an appropriate time. If you want, you can watch... Well, here's the footnote to all this, is that you can watch this minute of gameplay trailer thing if you can find it, because just in middle of Tuesday, Warner Brothers started taking down the videos, which pretty much is Warner Brothers... Either A, they're taking it down because someone's copyrighting Harry Potter stuff without their permission, or B, the shit leaked and it's a real. It's a real one. It's probably B.
So there's a conversation happening at the WB offices. They're like, how are we going to cover this up?
Or do we launch it now and waste the launch that we had?
Or,
but they listened to our show and said...
Now they know.
Wait, we can just say that we don't want people putting Harry Potter on the internet because it's our IP.
True.
Yeah.
Well, they can cover it up.
Genius.
Here's the other
thing.
Thanks,
podcast guys. You're welcome, WB. Give us money.
What if? All right. Follow me here.
I'm following.
What if they meant to leak?
You're telling me that they would leak one of the most anticipated AAA games of all time before the new Harry Potter movie as what? A way to drive sales and drum up old, like, you're telling me that this could be a publicity stunt?
I know what you're thinking. One, Kevin, we're all naked. Where did you get that wizard hat?
Right.
Two, why is it crinkling? And I'll answer that.
It's spooky fact number six.
Full of tinfoil.
That's spooky fact number six. It's a tinfoil hat of wizards. That's a fucking...
Those aren't stars, baby. Those are cutouts, and there's tinfoil on the inside, so it looks shiny. It's a dunce cap.
You see those trails? Today's the day you woke up. Did I ever tell you about that guy who at my old work, when I worked at a video store, one day was... I knew something was weird about that guy.
Maybe he's a wizard.
Well, I thought he maybe had wizarding powers, and then one day he was like, hey, come outside, look at this. I didn't work in a busy video store, we'll say that. It's closed now. Point up to the sky, there's a jet. Of course, it's trailing. And he looks up, he's like, you see that? I'm like, yeah. He's like, they're spraying. And I'm like, oh, wow.
He
said, today's the day you woke up. And I was like, hell yeah, chemtrails are real. And then I read one thing about chemtrails just so I could have some talking facts. And then I was like, so why are chemtrails? And like, because the radio waves and their government control. And I'm like, explain that.
Did he come in the next day with a NyQuil and a DayQuil in one hand and be like,
fucking,
you pick one and you go to sleep for the rest of the night.
You go to sleep, you feel groggy night. For 20 minutes. Take the other one and you won't have a stuffy nose for 40 minutes. The only reason that I remember this is because that guy, without fail, wore one of those, imagine like what a guy who's going on a safari would wear with like one of those fucking, you know, big ass hats with like a little string. He always wore that without fail. Shit would crinkle because there's totally tinfoil inside there. He was big into radio waves.
He strikes me as he sounds like the kind of guy that would power through an entire box of Bertie Bott's flavored beans, even if the disgusting ones were in there, just because.
Because he has to know if it's real.
Like, these skunk ones, they don't taste so bad.
God damn it.
When you mix them with the pepperoni
pizza
ones.
Let me guess. Was he one of those guys that's like, they're spraying chemicals everywhere, and then he takes a big drag on a cigarette?
No, close. Close. No, more like Rent Mary-Kate and Ashley films.
Damn.
Hell yeah. Guys, I thought we might do a fun little segment about Harry Potter games here, but we are taking some time on this.
Hell yeah, buddy.
The more I think about that thing you just said, the weirder it gets.
Yeah, chemtrail guy watching fucking Mary-Kate and Ashley go to New York.
That's enough.
We're done with that? Okay, speaking of things that are shadowy and shady, Shadow of the Tomb Raider. You know, no, like, go back. We'll go back. Everybody gets a chance. You say your favorite Harry Potter game up until now. I'll give you two.
I only need one.
Okay, Tyler, you start then, because you obviously have this more figured out than I ever
could. Oh, yeah, Quidditch for Game Boy Advance World Cup.
For Game Boy Advance?
Yeah.
That's an interesting one. Okay.
I could tell you why. You want to know
why? Yeah, no, tell me, because I'm very interested.
Because I only played one other one.
Okay.
And it was the Legos.
Well, fuck you, that was mine. Lego Harry Potter years one... No, fuck you. All of you, Harry Potter Remastered Collection. It's not out yet, but that's a way that I get to put two in one game. And I'm telling you, that game is really good. It's really good. I haven't played it yet. I mean, if they fuck up a remaster, then what are you doing? Anyways.
I'm sorry. I was Googling something. I was Googling a spicy game fact for the end of the show that's never going to come.
Yeah.
And I found something way better that I'm going to save for the end. I'm just teasing it for those of you that are listening right now, because God damn.
He is literally crying right now.
You'll be excited. Oh, man, I'm excited it's so about good. This. Is it, does it have
it's any... a Dumbledore fact.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Anyways, facts. My actual favorite Harry Potter, no joke, Harry Potter 6. The half-blip prints, which is on 360.
The F-blue rinse.
That's the closest we ever got to a third-person action and or, like, open-world adventure title. The thing that y'all want out of this is basically what Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince offered you, but just not as good. Or the Half-Blood Prince was not as good. Kevin, what's your favorite Harry Potter game?
My favorite Harry Potter game was the Harry Potter TCG.
I like that game.
No, what is the TCG? I mean, well, it was a trading card game.
Oh, okay. Was that a thing?
Yeah, it was a thing.
I played that with my dad and my brother.
Yeah, I played with Bogo.
Was it Pokemon or like what did it copy off of?
So,
Magic.
Yeah, okay. It's closer to Yu-Gi-Oh.
Okay, I believe
Yu-Gi-Oh,
it.
That's, yeah. Good, that's a good way to look at it.
No, my favorite was
less sacrificing.
Harry Potter spells. And.
Oh, man. I mean, you said it. You got the card game.
No, it was a joke.
Oh, you didn't.
It's a physical card game.
I mean, it was cool.
Oh, I guess it's not a video game, so it doesn't count. I mean, you got the normal Quidditch, you got Chamber of Secrets, you got Sorcerer's Stone, you got the Kinect big bullshits where you'd fling your wand. It's like, you didn't mean to Avada Kedavra fucking 12-year-old. I was like, yeah, I did.
I liked Harry Potter and the Irascible Pants.
Harry Potter and the Audacity of This Bitch. That's something that I've Harry seen Potter. On the internet. It makes me laugh every time.
Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone for PC.
Hell yeah, dude. Those deep early ones were actually pretty decent. Oh, yeah. I liked Sorcerer's Stone
quite. My favorite thing is like when kids would talk, right? They would have a dialogue, and then after the little dialogue box would go away, they'd just stand there staring at each other for a solid like 3 seconds, and then the animation would occur.
Is that the one where Hagrid looked like he went through some sort of hell before he, like, and his just face came out as like a flat fucking plane of horror? Yep. Hell yeah.
Horror plane.
Somebody give me that. Can someone get, I'll get the screenshot. We'll put it up on the internet. It's spooky enough.
Horror Hagrid.
If you guys want spooky pictures and other pictures of video gaming content, that's at SuperGameCast64 on Instagram, the IG. Guys, let's kick off these games. The games, honestly, are not that scary this time. I know it is the beginning of Spooktober. Spooktober begins, the beginning. make sure it's that, or is it the Chamber of Secrets one? No, he doesn't look as derpy. Sorry, we're trying to find it. It's definitely, yeah, okay.
Hagrid.
Yeah, okay.
Hagrid.
I need you to hold your finger on that, save the image, and then shoot it to me in the group text. That's going up on Instagram. Y'all love that. All right, games real quick. We're going to kind of go piece Hagrid. By piece, because we got a lot of other stuff we want to talk about. Hagrid.
Hagrid the Horrible.
Hordor Gord.
It's time for the kid.
I want to do a quick plug before we move away from Harry Potter.
Yes.
If you guys haven't, you need to go onto YouTube and look up Wizard People Dear Reader.
Okay.
It's the guy who does, I believe it is Professor Brothers in China, Illinois, Brad Neely. Okay. I believe it is him. He dubs over all the movies with distilled version, his own distilled version of what's going on screen, and it is fantastic.
I like any content that does like commentary on movies or anything in general, especially full like commentaries.
You gotta watch it.
I'm gonna check. Also, Harry Potter, if you don't listen, and here's we're gonna use this time as we transfer into games, just the rest of our recommendations for other podcasts. We'll do it at the end too. So just real quick, if you guys like anime, Shonen Trash, we love them. Vince, Kevin, Lauren, you guys are great. Mark and friends over there at Choose My Own Adventure. Also, if you don't, this is specifically for Harry Potter. If you like childish humor, not gross out, Kevin Smith bullshit. You listen to the show, you might like Kevin Smith. Kevin Smith, his Smodcast, S-M-O-D cast, they did a series called Harry Scotter, where they basically go over every single movie, and it's just Kevin Smith getting very high talking with Scott Mosier, and there's a lot of, it's funny Harry Potter stuff. So if you specifically want like 8 to 9 hours of more Harry Potter jokes, The Harry Scotter series.
Then buckle in, because we're here.
No, we're there. It's already been done. Kevin Smith did it. It's the funniest thing I've ever heard about Harry Potter.
Yet.
Not even, seriously.
Watch Wizard People.
That series of podcasts is more influential to me in my Harry Potter humor than Snape, Dumbledore, what the fuck, Harry Potter puppet pals. Yeah, shit. All right, speaking of puppet pals. No, I got nothing for that one. Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
That's a very specific portion of your humor.
Yes, Puppet Pals. That's a very specific.
No, I'm just saying Harry Potter, like, humor.
It barely comes out.
Is there, like, a pie chart of your humor and that's on there? That's that made the
chart? It's like the 3%.
Nice.
That's a Netflix show, too. Shadow of the Tomb Raider is the third. It's the third one.
Yep.
We got Fall of Lara Croft. My tone of voice maybe sounds like it's not that. Let me step back, right? Yo, Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
Oh, there you go.
Isasa, the third one.
I didn't know you worked for IGN.
Dan Stapleton, what's up? That's the review editor at IGN.
He always sounds so excited. I like it.
Dan Stapleton? Yeah. He doesn't do the audio. Who does their narrations, but there's somebody who's pretty good. Max Scoville. He's very fucking, this is IGN talk. Anyways, shout out to Max Scoville. Keep doing what you're doing, bud. Congratulations on the new baby, I think. Or the marriage. Something, whatever. Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
Congratulations on the life event.
Yeah, yes. good IGNs. Fucking 8.5, overwhelming Max Scovilles. Shadow of the Tomb Raider is the third and final in the reboot franchise of Tomb Raider, a la Tomb Raider, Rise of Tomb Raider, Shadow of Tomb Raider. This follows Lara Croft. She takes a dagger. Bad stuff. Don't want to take that dagger because apparently it causes the world to get all crazy. Or at least that's what the leader of Trinity, the antagonist force she's been fighting for these past three games, tells her. You are in Mexico, Cozumel, all that shit, Mayan temples. You're trying to get down in there. No, you're in Peru. And then if they go to Mexico, but definitely a lot of it in Peru. Anyways. This one is, if you took, like, the OG, like, the reboot Tomb Raider from 2013, you know, did you guys play that one?
A little bit.
Okay. And then you, stop scrolling memes on Facebook, Tyler. Yeah,
I can't help myself.
And then, pay attention to the people who pay your bills. No one pays our bills here.
That's what I'm doing.
It's Metal Gear 3.
Oh.
So you cover yourself in mud, you got a lot of stealth stuff, there's a big focus on stealth, but what this game does is it takes kind of the open world thing that was Rise of the Tomb Raider, scrunches it down, makes it more compact, and kind of makes it more about the puzzles, more about the experience. My favorite part about this is the multiple difficulties. So puzzles, combat, and exploration all have their own difficulty setting. So for puzzles, for instance, if you're on the easiest, you press in the right stick, get the detective mode from Batman kind of thing. If it's a item or a thing you need to interact with, it'll light up as blue, and Laura, every time you press that in, will give you a hint about the next thing. Like, I need to line up these symbols with this thing on the wall. It's very hand-holdy. If you don't want that,
turn that off right now.
You can go on hard mode where they give you no hints, you have to figure it out from context clues. But what this does is, if you're not a fan of puzzle games, and Lara Croft's Tomb Raider can have some puzzly puzzle games, you can make that as easy as you want and just skip over the puzzles. They don't really punish you. There's achievements for doing higher difficulties. But if you want less, maybe you like puzzles and you don't like shooting guys, you can make the combat super easy where you only fight like two or three dudes per encounter. Exploration, sometimes they'll show you where you can jump off of, where you can't. It's just a really cool way of doing it, and it's packaged in this very compact, surprisingly emotional narrative story. I went in with not big expectations, but, you know, standard ones. It's a Tomb Raider game, and I will say that I was thoroughly impressed. The game also looks damn good. A lot of them gram fix. You're fighting some different guys, or some different animals and shit. It's tons of stuff. It's tons of fun, too. If you like Shadow of the Tomb Raider...
stuff.
It's, I mean, really...
There's a lot of things in it.
Because there was the challenge tombs, and they had another, just like, crypts, and there's even more challenge tombs than before, and you have, like, a big skill tree thing. If you liked Rise of the Tomb Raider or the original Tomb Raider reboot, but you might not have liked the action-oriented things, want more of the original kind of tomb raiding experience, this one is definitely for you.
I want the really awful jump, like, jump physics.
Okay.
Where you get, like, locked into a jump, and you just gotta ride it out, you know?
In this game, you can change your outfit, and towards the end of the outfits, I think it was on my Snapchat, I put it up there, you can pick, like, Tomb Raider 2, Laura.
I want Tomb Raider 1, Laura.
That's the only one you don't get. You get Angel of Darkness, Laura, and you get Tomb Raider 2, Laura. And when you jump, it's like you have, like, a old-school connection to that bad jump, because it's almost the same animation. You're like, oh, no! But then you realize it's good physics. Anyway, Shadow of Tomb Raider, good time. A lot of games coming out, so it's okay if you wait on this one. Single player, you know, no online stuff. Anyways, this next one. This is spooky game fact number 7. Amnesia Collection is scary. It's not very scary, actually. It doesn't age that well. But if you want to see where the roots of the walking simulator horror genre came from, Get the Amnesia Collection. It is now available on Xbox One. It was on PlayStation Plus, I think, in October for free. So if you were someone who keeps up with PlayStation Plus and you have that, you might already have it. But the Amnesia Collection takes Amnesia The Dark Descent, which is the first game, Amnesia Justine, which is the follow-up expansion, and Amnesia Machine for Pigs.
Yep.
Okay, and puts all three of those together on a disc for like, not a disc, on digital download for I think 30 to 40 bucks.
That naming convention is fucking crazy.
What, The Dark Descent?
Amnesia? Amnesia Justine, and then Amnesia fucking Pig Machine. Like,
yeah, it doesn't really follow many...
No, no, it's not Pig Machine. It's a machine for pigs.
But you would think, like, The Dark Descent is a three-word subtitle. Then Justine is a one-word name subtitle. And they go back to a machine for pigs, which is, like, four. You should do, like, The Dark Descent, Descending to Justine. I don't
Justine's
know.
Justine's Descent into...
Justine's Descent.
And then just leave it at into. And then the pig. Third... Right.
Just call the third one Pig. Oink, maybe.
Pig Machine.
Amnesia is good. The thing that you have to remember about Amnesia is that there's no combat. You just run. And there's a lot of puzzles. And sometimes the game isn't the greatest about telling you where you need to go, what you need to do. It's a lot of holding a lamp up in very labyrinthian-like
environments. And then you get to the end and you find out the combat was inside you all along.
That is the twist. Now you don't have to play Amnesia.
And the true friend was the one that was chasing you.
Amnesia Collection is fun. I like it. I think it's a classic in the horror genre, at least in the walking sim genre. Check it out if you want. Like I said, it's been around for a while, but we just got it on Xbox One. Shouts out to the PR team that provided that for us. Definitely get it. You know what? I think it tis the season. Let's get it spooky. And... I'm just deciding what I want to do next. Kevin, what's scarier than the police? It's the Halloween season.
When the cop rolls up, when he pulls out and you think you were doing 38 in a 35.
You're doing 48 in a 35?
Never answer that.
If a police officer comes up to you and says, "Do you know why I was pulling you over?" Say
no.
Say yes, sorry. And don't say anything.
No, you just say, "Because you like the color of my eyes.
Because you could smell them.
Because we needed some more lights." For real, that is, I think, one of the scariest things ever, is that you get pulled over by police, and they're like, you're like, "What'd I do?" And then you're like, "I don't even know what I did." I had that happen one time, and he's like, "You know why I pulled you over?" I was like, "Shit, no, not actually." So you write taillights out. I'm like, that never happens.
You're like, "I'm a sovereign citizen."
Are you a U.S. citizen?
Am I being detained?
This is the Police 2. It continues the story of This is the Police 1, which we follow Jack Boyd, who was a ex-police chief, and he was trying to retire, but then the mob was like, "Hey, do this shit." Long story short, it was kind of maybe a controversial take on the police, because they had some missions in which it was like, "Hey, there is a group of LGBTQ protesters protesting something. Reasonably, you'd want to give them police support because it's a peaceful protest. But, you know, maybe a mob boss or somebody shady, you know, slides you like $5,000 and, you know, maybe if you stick a few cops on them because of whatever shady reasons." So there's some weird stuff about it. But the main gameplay of This is the Police 1 was a management sim. You have your police, you're the police chief. Things pop up over town, you know, like, "Oh, here's a domestic disturbance over here or a violent crime over here." And then using your staffed police, you send them out and they perform or don't perform, depending. You make some decisions. There's some puzzles that you have to work out, et cetera, et cetera. Kevin just saw the Hagrid picture again. No, guys, go to the Instagram.
It's not that it's just the Hagrid picture. It's that there's a caption.
No, don't ruin it for anybody.
The caption is fantastic.
Go to the Instagram. At SuperGamecast64. Now, both of these boys have laughed, and I'm glad that they did. You can get that image.
I can't wait to share this game fact with you.
Hell, yeah. This is the Police 2 is a little bit different. The first game had some not comic books, but it was animated cutscenes. This is the Police 2 is different. Kevin, I played the first one, obviously you didn't. Can you just give me your first impression on This is the Police 2? You know, don't be too long, because we're kind of running long.
Oh, in a word?
You know what? How about 10 words?
All right.
Because we promised him last time.
We did.
I'll do one for Forza. All
right.
So we can do two for.
All right.
All right, so This is the Police 2. In 10 words or less.
At least 2 in 10 words or
from
less.
From somebody who has less, not played the 10. First one. Well, okay. Well, I don't know. You're the guy who...
Let's do 10.
We'll do 10. Kevin invented the bit, so he gets 10. To put the rules. Okay. In 10, This is the Police 2 for PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Tyler has his hands up.
You want me to count up or down?
Let's count up.
Go for it. Wait. Music? Yeah, what kind of music do you want,
Tyler? What kind of music?
Didn't somebody say they wanted the Guile music, or was it?
Oh no, Kevin, our buddy Kevin.
What did he want?
Oh no, I said the joke about the Guile music.
Yeah, I mean, I can always look it up and post. You want to do that? All right, whatever
Kevin said.
This is not on us. All right, if this clashes, then it's not on me. But
you can blame Kevin, not me. To be clear.
Okay, and we're at okay. This is good. And once again, this is the Police 2 in 10 words or less. Let's hear it from Kevin.
Minimalist? That's one word, Tyler. Don't try to put up two fingers.
I thought you were going to keep going.
No.
Art style.
Is that one word or two?
That's two.
That's two?
Yeah, or okay. Three. Minimalist art style.
Long-winded. Narrative.
Is narrative one word?
Yeah.
Confusing. XCOM.
XCOM, one word.
Lookalike.
It's a title. That's one word.
I was...
Exclamation point.
Look-alike.
There's a lot of compound sentences in there, or like compound words. Yeah, true. So what Kevin is saying is the same thing that I thought. Because Kevin brought this up. He said, you know, it's a little slow. And I said, that's kind of how the first one was. What they did here is they took it and they made it more cinematic. But instead of being a management game, it's almost like they have those elements, but they're spread out between these very long-winded narrative sequences in which you don't want to skip them because you want to know what's going on, but it felt like a visual novel. I think that the first 30 minutes, you get a decently length cutscene, and then there's some weird turn-based, think like Fire Emblem, you know, you have a character, you can move them, and then you can do an attack or something. You have those kind of real-time strategy elements, which are never present in the original game, and then you go back to like another 20-minute cutscene, and then they introduce the thing I was saying earlier where you send cops on different calls, but instead of being in control of Metropolis, you're in control of a very small kind of town, so everything's more intimate. There are portions in which you have to solve a crime, but that has been removed and added into a weird kind of different story way. It's like they took every part of This is the Police 1, split it up, and entered this new strategy or turn-based thing, and from there, I don't know, because Kevin, I don't think you probably played what, the first 3 hours, 2 hours?
Yeah.
Same as me. And I kept waiting for, I'm like, when are they going to get to the gameplay?
Yes, dude.
Because the gameplay is the whole send cops out on various days and you go through a whole year of being a police. But it's almost like they just took all the elements of the game and broke it up into a narrative, which doesn't make sense for what this game is supposed to be. But Kevin, go ahead.
The other weird part that I noticed was like the beginning. They really throw out that new gameplay to you.
Yeah.
And it is like XCOM. You know, it's like a turn-based, grid-based, movement, perks, all this cool stuff. And they're like, oh, if your cop is stealthy, he can jimmy open a window without the guy inside noticing.
Yeah.
Or, you know, he can kick down the door and shock the guy for a round or something like that. Like, you set up these ambushes and all this really cool, like, movement.
But it's 100% stuff. Tutorialized.
Yep, 100% tutorialized. And you don't have free will. And then you have to watch the story for like an hour and a half.
But you never, have you played far enough in which you've returned to that?
No.
That's what I mean, is that I have not seen a cohesive gameplay session where they take everything together yet. And I'm like 3 hours in.
The other thing is like the narrative itself is, and maybe again, this is,
you have to kind of play the first one.
Somebody who doesn't really know the first one. But
yeah.
The characters are not all that likable. Like, I didn't really get pulled in. Like, the sheriff is cool. Like, she seems pretty interesting. Like, she's got a little bit of cool backstory going on.
Yeah.
And then there's this one cop who kind of assails who I now know is the main character from the first game.
He's so loud.
He's very loud.
For real?
It blew being up literal. The mic, didn't it?
Yeah. Like, whoever did the mixing on. There is a scene in which he has a gun. It's a cop has a gun to like the old ex-chief's detective's head.
And he's getting all in his face.
He's freaking out. He's like, he's coked out or something. He's freaking out. But for real, whoever did the mixing on that, fucking go back to school. It is bad. It's like,
he definitely blew out the mic a couple times.
Our audio, when Tyler screams and I have to like normalize it, is better. It's like they just unfiltered let this guy scream into like a mic. It's rough. But anyways, like Kevin was
saying, there were a few points where the writing or the dialogue must have, I don't know if it was improv, that's the only way I could have really seen it passing editing with all the meandering that was going on, especially Jack's lines, the main character of the first one.
He's kind
of
meandering.
He just sort of like, at one point he just talks, and it's almost like they just let him loose, and they're like, okay, so here's point A, and here's point B, now get there, but act like you're kind of like figuring it out as you go. And he really takes his time with it, to the point where I was just like, I can't do this.
It's a very moody game.
You really have to like the game, I think, like the series, I think, to really get into it.
What I'm gonna say that This is the Police 2 is a bad sequel. If you played This is the Police 1, and in order to play This is the Police 2, you kind of have to play the first one, because from a new person perspective, it takes too long to get into it. Who knows? Maybe post hour 5, this is a really cool thing, and it takes all the gameplay and puts it together. But what it is it's a continuation of a story in which the gameplay is completely different from the first one. So if you like the first one, I can't tell you that you're going to get the same gameplay experience, because it's not that yet. And if you haven't played the first one, this won't grab you at all. So right now, on This is the Police 2, you could probably wait. I'm enjoying it a little bit because I like the first one, but I could see people being very disappointed with it.
Yeah.
I'll come back and I'll check probably at the end of the year, because if it does get around to it, it could have some promise. But one of two things is happening here. Either This is the Police 2 is a game that has a very slow and arduous beginning that leads into something good, or they just changed the script, made it a cinematic game when it was supposed to be a micromanagement or a management simulator, and then they fucked it up. So we'll find out what that is. Let's talk about things they fucked up, though. Not the people who make This the Police. Telltale. Walking Dead Episode 2. I'm not going to get too deep into it, because at this point, no one's going to buy it. You can't even buy it anymore. Walking Dead Episode 2 of the final season was the unexpected finale. We got to see a little bit more of Clem and AJ. We got to see the return of some old characters as well. But at the end of the day, this information is going to do nothing for you. If the only reason that you want to hear this is if you've bought the season pass for Walking Dead, and you were like, oh, they're shutting down Telltale and canceling it, I'm going to uninstall it. Just finish the second episode. It gives you some closure narratively. I feel like we'll talk about it at the end of the year, because at this point they're saying that there's some way they might finish episode 3 and 4, whether an interactive comic or something else, who the fuck knows. But I'm kind of salty because I have 400 out of 1,000 achievement points, and you can't get the other ones anymore.
Yep, Tangerine won't remember that.
That's, dude. You follow Clementine from when she's like 7 years old. She's like 17 or 18 now, or 16.
So she's like an orange now.
For real! She's been through a lot of shit, and you're like, man, I really hope I get to see the closure for this character. Nope. Sorry. Fuck you, Telltale. Whatever. Anyways. Walking Dead, I really was a big fan of it. So if you got the season pass, sure. Play episode 2. If not, can't buy it anyways. Another one that's episodic. Life is Strange 2. Who here played Life is Strange 1? Just me?
Show of hands.
That should have helped you. well, Rush was really big into it.
Yeah that's his game.
Okay, so Life is Strange 1, another episodic narrative-driven game, had an indie feel to it, followed this girl named Max. She was an art school student who found out... Artist stool, am I right?
Can't be. I was picturing like a stool in an art class.
Oh, yep. It's like stool as in poo-poo.
That's not what I was thinking.
It's a good quality humor y'all come here for.
Life is Strange 1, you could reverse time, but you could also make decisions, big and small. Kind of Telltale-y, but it had a very...
Wait, if you didn't like the outcome of a decision you make, could you turn back time and make it again?
Yeah, some of it, yeah.
Like the good old days?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
It's like Life, but strange.
Life is Strange 1 had the good, the trappings, but also the better parts of a narrative-driven single-player game, like a Telltale game, but also had interesting gameplay mechanics, because you could reverse time, and that played into puzzles and stuff like that, and time-based things.
Isn't this made by Square Enix?
No, this is, well, Square Enix published it, somebody else. Now, the people who make Life is Strange 2 are the same people who made Life is Strange Before the Storm, which was an expansion on the first season, Kevin, yes.
Did Cher's If I Could Turn Back Time play every time you turn back
time? No.
Okay, it should.
That really, I think the license is probably more...
What about expensive. Stressed Out by 21 Pilots?
That was before that came out.
Ah.
That was pre...
This is definitely the game that would have that in it, though.
Yeah, no, no. If you can imagine the game version of like a 21 Pilots album, this is that. But with girls in art school.
You just blew my mind.
Yeah, no, no, that's not this. That's not this. That's not Life is Strange 2. That's the first season.
Yeah.
Life is Strange 2. Sorry, my throat is really scratchy today. It's probably that spooky stuff. Does anyone have a spooky fact while I drink water?
I got a spooky fact for you.
Thank you.
In October, every time you yawn, a ghost puts his dick in your mouth.
I was drinking, bro.
Thank you, ghosts.
Thank you, ghosts.
They're like, hey, check this out. Here he goes.
Did you know in your sleep?
God damn it, Ted, not again.
Jesus Christ. Life is Strange 2 follows new characters created by Don't Nod, developed by Don't Nod Entertainment. It shit had me nodding, to be honest. I'm not going to sugarcoat this. Life is Strange 2 is a disappointment. Instead of having good characters and a reason to get behind the emotional punch of the story, it pushes you through the beginning segments, dawdles in the middle, because it can't. You don't have a connection to the characters, and you don't have any of the puzzle gameplay, because there's supernatural powers, but it's a narrative thing, and it's pushed to the back. Your character, you can't reverse time like you could in the first one. You can't do anything. You can just walk around and make small decisions, so it's much more limited gameplay-wise. To that, the story feels much more focused on not political commentary, because they don't say much, but they want you to know that this is definitely in Donald Trump's America. More so than they want you to explore the bond between these two brothers that is the crux of the entire story. That's the problem, is that it feels unfocused. I don't have any care for the characters beyond, like, the main character, Sean Diaz, you play as, who's a 17-year-old kid coming out of a senior year in high school. He's a good brother and he's a good son. He's a all-around decent person. He's not likable beyond that. He gets on Skype with his friend, who uses Skype anymore, says things like bitchin' and wildin', and his main focus for the first 20 minutes of the game is how he's not gonna look thirsty while he tries to hook up with his crush at a party, after you steal money from your dad for beer, or steal your dad's beer, or don't do it if you're a good son. And that's the whole thing. He keeps saying, I can't be too thirsty. Trying out, like, compliments in the mirror.
You must be well hydrated.
It's very teen angsty, and it's just, it doesn't lend itself to a good start to the season. Now, that being said, it has potential to be great, it just didn't kick off great. Even Life is Strange Season 1 wasn't that awesome until further episodes. So right now, tentative no. Don't purchase it, wait probably until the rest of the season is out, because at this point, it's $40 for the whole season, and that's a step up from what the old ones were, and everything about this game is a step down. To be honest, someone put up 10 fingers because it's Forza time, baby.
You want to go up or down?
I don't care, man. I just do this one straight.
Dang it. I just yawned.
Hey, you got some ghost dick. That's Spooktober. The beginning begins. Okay. Forza Horizon 4.
Wait, the music. Is there like a Hot Wheels theme? Can we use a Hot Wheels theme?
How about
maybe Transformers?
Yeah, it's going to be added heavy.
I gotta mark the thing.
Hey man, you're the one who wanted to.
All right, we'll do this no music. We're doing no music on this one.
Ooh, cruising.
We're doing no music on this
cruising.
One.
Oh, wait. What about? What was it?
If you keep talking about music that'll sound good, I'll feel compelled.
Don't feel compelled. Just do the 10 words.
Okay.
I'll think about it while you do that.
All right. There's gonna be no music for this one. Forza Horizon 4 in 10 words or less. Let's go. Blast. No, take that back. Tear through the UK. UK is one word. Country, motherfucker. Tear through the UK in the best modern arcade racer. There you go. You guys are always complaining that I'm like, I don't explain games.
Best modern arcade racer.
I would say that Forza Horizon 4 is the best modern arcade racing game since Burnout Paris. If you think about it, the Crew 2, I mean, it's okay, but nothing does it quite like Forza Horizon 4. The last game to do this that good was Forza Horizon 3. The last game to do that before this was Burnout Paradise, and I would say the last game to do it that good before that was Need for Speed Underground 2.
I liked that game.
Yeah, so if in my brain, if you look through PlayStation,
you consider that an arcade racer?
Yeah, because it doesn't... It, when you think about simulation racers like Gran Turismo and like Forza and Project Gotham,
yeah,
where there's fine-tuning, like Need for Speed more focuses on just having fun. And like if you hit a wall going 60 miles an hour, the whole race isn't over. You can press the rewind button. That is the distinction between arcade and simulation racing.
Mm.
Arcade being open world, you're doing different street races, different kind of things. Simulation usually being coursework. Anyways... At the end of the day, I could talk about this game for hours and hours and hours because there's so much stuff to do. But if you've played a Forza Horizon game before, what it is a collection of many different race types, yada, yada, yada. You're at a festival. It's in some different country every time.
Wait.
Yes.
You just yada, yada, yada over the best part.
There's a festival.
Well, that was after the yada, yada, yada.
Yada, yada, yada. Well, I mean, what are you referring to as the best part? Because it might be changed.
That's a Seinfeld joke. Skip it.
Oh, okay. Seinfeld. Sorry. I'm not too hip on Seinfeld, to be honest. It's one of the things I haven't really worked my way through. Was that you laughing at me because I haven't watched Seinfeld?
No.
Anyways.
You're such a Kramer.
Look, dude, don't fucking say I'm a Kramer. That shit holds
a
lot of.
I really watched a lot of Seinfeld.
Fucking isn't the Kramer the guy who's yelling at black people in the fucking comedy den or whatever? It's like throwing out some big, big bad words.
Probably.
Yeah. Is he the one with the
him and Bob Saget?
Fucking yep. Bob Saget. Jesus Christ. Anyway, Forza Horizon 4 is this Forza Horizon formula where you drive in this big open world. It's all about celebrating cars and you get all sorts of crazy. You drive the fucking Warthog for all you want. Do it. Warthog from Halo. Halo what is new is that there are four different seasons. The map isn't huge. It's medium-sized, but it's four maps in one. It changes every week because it's tied to an online server between autumn, spring, summer, fall, etc. Autumn, winter, spring, and summer. Sorry about that.
Autumn, fall,
no,
spring.
October.
Winter.
Solstice.
To be honest, autumn is the best.
It is.
It's the best in this game.
In real life.
In real life, it's also the best. Yep. If you disagree, then you're wrong.
You clearly don't live in Ohio.
We'll talk about this.
We'll talk about
autumn. At the end of the year. Autumn specifically, we'll talk about at the end of the year.
Season of the year is coming up.
Buy Forza Horizon 4 if you own Xbox One. Get Game Pass for $10 and play it. This is a fantastic game.
Wait, Forza Horizon 4 is on Game Pass?
The whole thing of Game Pass is that every Microsoft exclusive is on their day one now. Sea of Thieves, remember how that was like fucking day one?
Yeah.
Yeah, everything.
There's no update for that.
Yeah, I heard. There's the two free ones or whatever.
I'd like to play.
They're all free.
But nobody plays anymore.
Because Sea of Thieves was... We said that shit, like, before the game came out, it was going to be hot for like 6 weeks and then die.
Yep. That's got a rowboat now.
Fucking cool, man. Do they have more than three quests?
They have a three-person boat.
Do they have more than three quests?
I don't know.
See, that's the thing. I need the hard gameplay content.
There's pirate skeletons on ships.
I hear there's volcanoes and stuff.
There's no progression.
What do you need progression for? Pirates didn't have progression.
Well, because...
They just want
to get rich. Exactly. Somebody's already gotten rich.
Sounds like you guys don't want to be pirates.
I clearly don't want to be a pirate.
You can be a pirate in Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which looks like... That has a lot of progression. We'll talk about that next week.
Greek pirate?
Yep.
Yeah, dude.
What is that called? Myrmidon.
A Greek or a pirate.
No, that's a fightman.
Forza Horizon 4. Like I said, Game Pass. Yeah, anything that's a Microsoft exclusive moving forward is going to be on Game Pass. It's $10 a month if you haven't used a free trial already. let's blast through this shit real quick. We have a mobile corner. We're going to enter the corner very slowly and for only a little while because both of you have been playing this.
Oh, yeah?
Okay, well then, okay, no, standard mobile corner, but just one focus this time. Gentlemen, take it away as we enter the mobile game corner.
Tyler.
Nintendo released a game... This week, last week, sometime previously. And it is their take on an action RPG with fun little chibi characters. I would say it has the graphics of Final Fantasy XV Pocket Edition.
Crystal Chronicles, I'd say.
Okay. I didn't play a lot
it's
of
cartoony
that.
Cartoony-ish.
Similar, I imagine. Yours is more topical than mine is.
This game is called Dragalia Lost. And it is wonderful.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I saw a little bit of it, and it looks kind of cool. Like, Kevin was saying the...
I'm digging it so far. They got a raid coming up where you play with 16 other people. There's already a four-person co-op capability where, you know, if you're on a particularly hard quest and you don't want your little helper people to screw things up, being computers and all, you can have your friends come join you. There are a lot of mechanics to it insofar as you upgrade weapons and these things called worm prints, which are basically like pictures, I guess, kind of. Their memories.
Really know a lot about
that. They're like a thing that powers your person up. You have a flat skill called Might that's represented by the strong powers of your peoples, and you upgrade those powers, whether it's through their weapons or their worm prints or their dragons that they can make a pact with.
Or their magic circles.
Or their magic circles.
Which is basically like the ability circles from Unison League.
Yes. So the whole point of the game is you go through these individual chapters that tell a story about the seventh in a line of succession to the throne of Albania.
I mean, yes, I don't know the exact number, but it is. I think Albania is the person.
Whatever. It's Nintendo. It's actually fully voice acted, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Interesting.
The story doesn't suck.
It doesn't. And if you don't want to watch every single cutscene, you can skip them. And normally it's like, well, duh, you can skip the cutscene.
Right.
Well, yeah, but it gives you a little synopsis before
nice
you
little summary.
Click on over it's if you cool. want to read that.
They should kind of institute that in almost every video game. I feel like some would be inherently more expensive because of the amount of storytelling, but that would be really nice. I was like, do I need to see this last 10 seconds of this conversation, Assassin's Creed? No, I don't. But I would have liked like a little summary that says you don't need to.
As far as gameplay goes, they forego the bullshit, annoying like virtual analog AB button bullshit that every ARPG on mobile has that I cannot stand.
My finger always falls off the virtual joystick.
Exactly. What they do instead is wherever your finger touches and drags, that's the origin point of the
joystick.
So you can touch anywhere on the screen and drag, and your character will run in that direction.
It's the better way to do it, guys.
And then you just have to attack. If you press and hold, you can do a special attack, and then you have a charge move and your dragon pact, which after a certain amount of combat, you can turn into a dragon and mess people up.
This must be PvP or PvE, or what's the deal?
It's mostly PvE. I haven't seen any PvP yet, have you?
No, but it could happen, I think. They could probably institute it in this.
I just like PvE games more, and these jokels usually play PvP stuff.
How would you describe the enemy attacks? How they do that? Like there's a cone or something in front of the enemy that slowly.
A tell?
Yeah, they have like a tell. So a cone will like appear in front of the enemy and slowly fill up with a color. Mm-hmm. And once that color reaches the edge of the cone, they initiate an attack, and you have to slash to drag out of the way. Or I'm sorry,
right.
Slash to dodge out of the way. So there's all sorts of fun stuff going on here.
I just played it for 5 seconds on Tyler's phone.
There's an autoplay feature, which is nice. And if you guys play, I was going to start an SGC guild, so you can join our guild.
Hell yeah, this is what we need.
All right, hop on that Facebook group. If you're trying to play Dragalia Lost, Kevin will create the guild. I just played it for like 2 seconds. It looks very fun and very colorful.
There's a gacha element, however.
And like each individual character has a story. That you can read as you level them up.
Yes.
And build up their magic wheel thing.
Let's be honest here. Every game is usually better with friends. Yes. And whether or not you're going to play this for a month or a year or 2 weeks, it's probably better with friends. So yes. Hop on. Let's all enjoy this brand new Nintendo mobile game while it's hot and ready. And you know what? If it doesn't work out in the long run, it's okay. We don't have to be the best guild in the world, but I do want to play with all our friends. So hop on the Facebook public group. Kevin.
Ooh. One more thing to throw in there.
Oh, yeah, go for it.
Seeing as it's a gacha game, I was a little bit skeptical at first because usually that's indicative of a pretty hard paywall.
Yeah.
But from what I understand from the people on the subreddit and everything like that, it's based off of an existing game called Grand Blue Fantasy, which is based off of the anime. And in that game, the developers are extremely generous with the premium currency. So far, I have no reason to believe that they haven't been. I've been able to do their like ultimate summon about 5 times since I started in this week. So really, you know, the drop rates are still low as they are in all gacha games. But I haven't. They also make it so that the characters that you can get from the jump, from the get-go, are competent and strong enough to get you through the game.
Big paywalls, eh?
No big paywalls, as far as I've seen.
Okay. Mobile Corner, Dragalia Lost, pretty big recommend for now.
Yes.
At
least 2 thumbs.
Tyler, do you want to
we'll see you next week.
Do you want to do this? Do you want to do this thing?
I mean, if you want to talk about it, sure.
Yeah, I mean, a lot. We got like another 5 minutes. You want to just list them off?
Yeah, listing is, I think they got the idea for most of these.
Hey, guys. You guys remember New Game Plus. It's something me and Tyler do, and Kevin too, at the beginning of months usually, where we talk about the free games that you're going to be getting, at least if they're notable. To be honest, Xbox is doing way better than PlayStation this month.
I agree.
I'll let Tyler take the Xbox, and we'll talk a little bit about it if it's not already pretty obvious, but okay. Tyler, what does Xbox Games with Gold have for us?
So this month we're looking at Live Lock.
I have no clue what that says.
Me either.
It's a mech game, I think.
Stuntman Ignition.
Fantastic game.
Overcooked. You wanna fight with your friends? Don't
well, you
play
cook
this
with
game.
Your friends.
You end your friendships with this
fantastic
game.
Fantastic game, though.
Seriously, this is a fun game.
I wish someone would play it with me.
Your wife! Yeah. That's not... the one that's I play Overcooked with Sabrina.
Actually,
I play all of Overcooked, all both of them.
One of our fans, Kevin, came over one day with my brother-in-law Trevor, and we played Overcooked. We got through about like 5 or 6 levels before everybody
Hell
gave up.
Hell fucking yeah, dude.
Very nice. I'm impressed.
It was fun.
Victor Vran is next on that list. Victor Vran is like...
what is this?
It's like Diablo.
Is that? I thought that was the Adventures of Van Helsing.
That is also like the same thing, yeah.
Oh, okay, shit. So they're just taking like 2 Victor Van VVs and making it into Diablo clones. Oh, okay. Yeah,
straight up a Diablo clone.
Is it better or worse than the Adventures of Helsing?
Worse.
Ah, shit. Well, Helsing was... Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you still have 3 classes and they're all really squishy and no one's good at anything.
Victor Vran. That's something that's going to be coming. And then obviously...
I don't know. Maybe I'll play this.
The last one, as I'm most excited for it.
Hitman.
Hitman Blood Money.
Blood Money.
Hitman Blood Money was one of the only Hitman games, and I'm not a huge fan of the Hitman games. I like the new one a lot, but Blood Money was one of the first ones that I was like, oh, I could get into this. It's very wacky, I think is the right thing to say. Stuntman Ignition, something I forgot to mention about Forza is that they get rid of the bucket list challenges, which are one of my favorite things in Forza Horizon 3. Like, it'd be like, tear ass 250 miles an hour in this crazy Ferrari, or like, drive a Volkswagen on the golf course, you know, like... Things that were specifically made to be wish fulfillment. They removed that, but what they have added in lieu of it is a, hey, we're filming a movie, so we need you to do these stunts. And then a YouTuber who is like trying to make videos that call back to her favorite old school racing games. So on one hand, you don't get the bucket list, but on the other hand, you get some crazy movie stunts and some crazy video game homages. But if you don't have the money for Forza Horizon 4, get on Game Pass. If you don't have $10, but you have Xbox Live Gold, Stuntman Ignition is a fantastic racing game where it's all about doing stunts. You're doing these missions, you know. Play Stuntman Ignition.
Is this like, would you consider this like a Tony Hawk of cars?
Yeah, but except instead of Tony Hawk of cars, where in Tony Hawk, it's like you get 2 minutes to explore. What Stuntman is you got like 6 different movies, right? Each movie has 5 scenes. So it's like, this one's the Bond one. And you do a obstacle course, so to speak, okay? So, like, do a 180 around this tree. Dodge this truck. Your director is yelling in your ear when you do different things. It's one of those games you kind of... Or one of those games you replay the levels over and over to get a high score. I think Stuntman Ignition is the best on this list, even over Overcooked, in my opinion. But that's because of my deep love for the franchise. Overcooked is good as well.
I just want to touch on Live Lock real quick.
Yeah, what is this?
Looks like a what is that? Like a bullet hell.
Okay.
Third.
What genre?
What genre? It says top down shooter. I mean,
Halo Spartan Assault. Is that what you're gonna say?
Yeah, that one.
Okay.
That's
a twin stick shooter.
Twin stick shooter. That's it. That's the one.
We got there.
It reminds me of what the hell.
I was worried that this was going to be like a mech game that had like very complex stuff.
Colorful. It was on PS3.
I was going to say Geometry Wars,
maybe.
Geometry Wars is Xbox. Are you thinking of the one where you can make your own music or you put your own music into it?
No, that's a cool one, though.
Fuck,
I like that game a lot.
Unfortunately, none of those things are on the PlayStation Plus, as far as like colorful twin stick shooters. But Live Lock, I might check out. I thought it was a mech game where you'd have to like upgrade shit, and that's not good.
That says cooperative,
that.
By the way.
Ooh, boys.
3-player co-op.
Ooh, boys.
Ooh.
That might be something we can do.
Kevin doesn't like shooters. He doesn't like stick shooters.
The twin stick. I like bullet hells. I like twin stick.
Maybe me and Tyler can play.
Love Isaac.
We'll play it.
All right. Here's what's coming up for PlayStation now. By the way, as far as those New Game Plus stuff goes, Hitman and I believe Victor Vran are like post the second half of the month. And Live Lock, I think, is only around for like another week because I think that was a September one. Here's here's PlayStation. I'm not even going to go into some of these because I don't even know. Friday the 13th, the game. We all know what that is. One person plays as Jason, the other people plays. Yeah, it's multiplayer, fun stuff. There's supposed to be some story mode content, I guess, now. But there you go. If you got a PlayStation,
spook nasty.
Get it. It's good for the month. It's spooky. Laser League. I don't know what this is, but
this is Tron, except harder.
Okay, if I had a guess, that's something close to where I would guess. Or Rocket League with lasers.
Boy, that would be so much better.
PS Plus bonus.
You know what it is? It's Jez Ball. You ever play that game?
Yeah. No.
No? This is for like Windows 92?
I played a game on Windows like DOS. Or I played a game on DOS that was, you were like a farmer, and there was a dog house in the middle. And you had to
Stardew Valley.
You had to go through these mazes, and it's... there's a red dog. It's something that has evaded my ability to place it
flashbacks
for about let's just say like 22 years. Like, yeah. I can't. If anyone knows the game that has a dog and maybe it's a red dog, or maybe there's a red dog house.
Clifford,
but it's not Clifford. It's not Clifford.
It's a DOS game. Farmer
and there's a farmer. There's a dog. There's red and the mazes. Maybe some chickens. It has eluded me for all of time and is the most nostalgic thing ever. Kevin's about to Google it and fuck my day up. I'm pretty sure. Knowledge is power, both in real life and on PlayStation Plus for free. I don't know what the hell that is. Master Reboot is a game for the PS3. Not like Reboot the CGI thing, the show, but a game. The Bridge, which I believe is a puzzle game. You can get that on PlayStation 3, PS4, and PS Vita. Rocket Birds 2 Evolutions. I don't know. It sounds like a goddamn Angry Birds clone. It could be wrong, though. Rocket Birds 2 is definitely good enough to get a sequel, I hear. Tyler, did you have something? Or?
Yeah, I want to say Knowledge is Power kind of looks like a game show. It looks like a children's version of that one game that we play, Jackbox.
Jackbox is a good time. Did you guys see that?
Jackbox 5 is coming out this month.
Okay, I heard something called the Jack and Jill Box. Is that tied to this, or is that something different?
Never heard of it.
Okay, look it up. I'm pretty sure it's a thing. Sounds
like dinner.
That's what I mean, right? Right. And then 2064, Read Only Memories, also known as ROM, also known as that fucking Daft Punk album. Dude, now I'm hungry, man. Now I want some dinner. It is kind of late.
So we kind of glazed over Rocket Birds 2, right, real quick.
What is Rocket Birds 2?
It's a garbage game and don't play it. It's a side-scrolling, platforming piece of trash. Like, seriously, in the Vita version, I think it's like PS4 Vita.
Oh, this is coming from experience.
Yeah.
Okay, it sounded like it.
Originally, like, I couldn't even kill the first enemy. It's like, shoot the guy. And I'm like, okay, so I stood there and I'm running at the guy. I'm like, I'm going to kill this guy in one hit, two hits, maybe six hits. Oh, you killed me. I'm going to, okay, start over. Back up. Shoot the guy. One hit.
Die in one
seven
hit?
Yep, one hit. You die in one hit.
This sounds very not fun.
I hate you guys.
Why?
I've been trying to find this farmer game.
Nope.
And guess what? Stardew Valley came up.
Yeah, no. It's lost to
You're
time.
You're welcome.
It's lost to time. You'll never find it, dude. I've been looking. I've come close. I feel
remember,
like.
Oh, this is that black and white puzzle game.
Remember the cowboy one?
No. That my DOS been, is like Commander Keen.
That might have been Commodore 64.
Duke. Like some point and clicks. That's about it. The bridge is a fun little like it plays
Logic
on your perspective.
Puzzles.
Yeah. The bridge play. It's very fun.
Do the game. Play the
2064 Read Only Memories. I don't know what that one is, but it's a Vita
it
and a PS4
like a,
game.
It sounds like a fucking Kingdom Hearts title.
Pretty fucking much.
365 over 2 days.
Tyler's looking that up. Before we go, because we're pretty much bringing in the end here. Nice hour and 30 minutes. Some good beginning to Spooktober.
Cyberpunk adventure game developed by Midboss.
2064 Read Only Memories? That's what this is?
This game is 3 years old already.
Okay.
VA11 Hall A.
Well, it could be. If you like Cyberpunk and RPG-ish action, something like that.
It seems like just adventure.
Okay, try that out if you like you're a fan of Cyberpunk. But before
point
we
and click.
Point and click. Hey, there you go. I think I'd heard about that before. Point and clicks are fun. Do the point and click. Here's what we're going to do before we get into the spicy game fact and all the social stuff. Here's something I want to do because Halloween is good. And I always hear people going like, "Hey, what should I watch? What should I play spooky? Give me some spooky stuff." And I feel like everybody has a little bit to contribute. So what we're going to do is we're going to try this three. I don't have a name for the segment anymore. It's three recommendations, one book, one movie, or TV show, or web series.
So one read, one watch, one play?
Yeah, one read, one watch, one play.
I will come up with a better name for that.
I have my three picked. I can start.
Please.
Okay, my one book. My one read or listen. You could do audiobook either way. I don't think it exists on audiobook, but we're going to go pretty heavy for this first beginning of Spooktober. This is not a light read. This is not a read you want to get into if you are squeamish at all. Don't read this shit. But if you like horror and you like a lot of fucked up stuff, check out Haunted by Chuck Palahniuk. He's the guy who wrote Fight Club. It is about 23 writers who are put in a... I don't want to spoil anything. They are quarantined off, one could say. Separated from the rest of society and forced to write their magnum opus or be dispatched of, killed, die in some way. It's like 24 short stories that are all different, have different genres, written by different people, and there's an overarch in between. I like it quite a bit.
That sounds cool.
It is. I don't think there's an audiobook version. I got mine from the library.
Is this that one you sent me the screenshot of the...
Spooky Face?
No.
Yes. Yeah. That is...
The one that I mentioned before you read it, and then you read it and sent me the picture.
That's the first short story.
Oh, God.
Yeah, Kevin was like, oh, this is that book where there's that really grotesque thing that happens in a
really
pool.
Really gross.
And it's disgusting. And I was like, oh, okay. And it's the first one. It's one of those ones, one of those books that are like, let's get you really in the mood right away.
Yeah.
It's pretty disgusting.
Yeah.
My one watch. You know what we're going to do here? Originally, this was going to be movies, but Tyler made a good point. He said, like, we don't watch a lot of movies, we do a lot of TV. And then I said, that's a good point, because I also watch a lot of web series. Here is a deep cut, Bored James. Bored James is a series that's made by the guy who made Angry Video Game Nerd, known as James Rolfe. Well, that's his real name, James Rolfe. And it's a lot of episodes. It's 27, maybe like 4 hours in total. The first two seasons, aka the first like 18 episodes, the first 17 episodes, it's just this guy and his buddy reviewing board games online, kind of scripted, it's mostly a joke. And then he took a break, made his movie, the Angry Video Game movie, got all the whole movie-making thing, came back and wrote the third season of Board James, which goes from a, we're going to review board games for fun, into a psychological horror that is... one part Inception, one part Black Mirror, and one part Twilight Zone tied into board games. And it's really well done. It's not horror. It's in the way, like, Are You Afraid of the Dark or Goosebumps is horror. You know, it's fun. It's really fun. I got young Dan to watch some of it. We finished up season 2 last night. And then he stayed up till like 4:40 in the morning watching the final season because we watched it all the way through. And as soon as you get to final season 3, aka episode 19... onward, it's fantastic. So that's my one watch, the web series Bored James. And then my one game is going to be Outlast 1. We'll do Outlast 1 because it's the beginning. I was going to say Amnesia, but you can play that too. Outlast 1, great time, great spooky stuff. Boys.
Are these going to be themed? Are we doing
themes? I think October it's all spooky.
Okay.
All spooky. And then, you know, right. If we feel it, maybe we can move on to like November. You don't have a lot of themes unless being thankful. In December, there's so many Christmas everythings. So... Right. Yeah, let's try it. We'll see. We'll see if the audience likes it. Let us know.
Yeah.
Okay, who else got some?
I got one.
Okay, go.
All right, here's my read. It's called Still Life with Crows. It's one of those it's one of those kind of books you'd find on the shelf at the airport. It's like Douglas Preston and Lincoln Child.
Yeah, it's like a very...
Like mass produced, you know?
Not an eye-catching kind of cover. Yeah. Okay.
Well, so I read this when I was much younger, mm-hmm. and... The way that they write this particular series of books is all in a way that is scary because there's a plausible explanation for everything that happens. Although unlikely, it is like you could see it happening and that's why it's freaky as hell. In this particular one, in a small town in Kansas, they find a corpse in the middle of a cornfield.
You guys want to see a dead body?
Naked.
Nice.
Spread eagle.
Nice.
Covered in butter and sugar.
What?
And there's a bite taken out of them.
What?
And then surrounding another corpse that they find is a bunch of blackbirds speared on old Indian arrows.
This is an erotica?
In a circle around... No. No.
it's you said you read this when you were younger.
I did.
Fucking what books were you reading when you were younger?
I was reading a lot of Douglas Preston Lincoln Child books, man.
And they were...
They follow a couple of like recurring characters, one of which is a FBI agent that investigates kind of weird cases like this.
Hell yeah.
And he is the centerpiece of this particular...
Is this a thick read or a small, a short read?
You could probably burn through this pretty quick.
Okay, that's what I want to say about Haunted as well, because it's like...
It's mass-produced, you know, it's like
a... Yeah, you know, tome?
No, no, it's probably ghost-written, but it's still good. It's good.
Hell, yeah. Do you have a game or movie?
I have a watch, but it's not themed.
Okay. You know what, let's... Don't worry about the theme for this one. Kevin, why don't you just tell him something good to watch?
Gotta recommend Letterkenny.
Yes.
I've watched through all of what they have on Hulu. There are apparently 5 seasons, 2 or 3 of which are on Hulu, and the rest they haven't really purchased streaming rights to because they haven't seen the popularity of it. So when you decide you like it, come tell me. Watch it so that they release more of the seasons. It is absolutely hilarious. It's in the vein of, like, Trailer Park Boys, but it's not so reliant on stupid humor all the time. It has some of the best fight scenes I've ever seen in, like, mainstream TV.
I'm just going to piggyback real quick. Because his wasn't themed, you can pretend that his was themed for a second and just pretend it was Castle Rock on Hulu.
There you go.
And that works as well if you're already on Hulu. And then once you're done watching Letterkenny, you can hop over to Castle Rock, which is a fantastic thing. Don't worry. We don't all need a game. We don't all need...
Yeah, I don't have a game right now.
It's just 3 recommendations which you get. Everything else is an added bonus. Tyler, do you have anything to throw into the pile?
Yes, I would like to recommend my favorite author, probably of all time at this point, Joe Hill. Matt just finished this book. I'm going to start it out strong just because, I mean... And I won't do Joe Hill until the end of the month again after this. So,
you could just do a Joe Hill book every week.
Like, yeah.
All week, every week.
I definitely could. But my recommendation this week is Heart-Shaped Box.
Can you give them the lead-in and then tell them that it's not stupid? Because I think the lead-in sounds very like Goosebumps, like R.L. Stein.
Well, like he buys a box. He buys an old suit.
It has a ghost in it.
Yeah, he buys like an old suit with a ghost
in it. A has-been or retiring rock star. Who has a fascination with the occult purchases a quote-unquote haunted suit off of eBay and gets more than he reckoned for when it arrives. It sounds kind of like...
It absolutely sounds like Goosebumps.
And then it gets really fucked. Yeah, like,
it's super weird.
It's good.
Yeah, there's a ghost in there, but... Yeah, there's more.
There's a lot of... I just finished it, and it is Heart-Shaped Box.
Like, how did you... did you... What?
We can't... You, I don't want to spoil it for anybody. We'll talk
about it. Where would you put it in... With his other books?
I think Nos4A2 or Nosferatu is the best one he's done. I think this is probably... I haven't read Horns yet. Or any of his shorts. Okay. So I would
say... The shorts are really good.
I would say I like this more than Fireman, but that's because it's inherently creepy nature.
I personally am a fan of The Beast from the East, followed by The Mask.
I like Say Cheese and Die.
Say Cheese and Die.
That one had Ryan Reynolds and Ryan Gosling in it.
Yeah. What's the one with the moth? With the dude that collects bugs that he like pins bugs.
And then he has the lamps and it's a meme.
What about the...
Nope. No,
I know exactly what you're talking about, though. He's like a mad scientist.
He's like a teenage boy.
Okay.
And he used to collect...
We're talking about Goosebumps now, by the way.
Bugs.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Dude, just let it go. It's Halloween. This is the time.
So my read is Goosebumps now. Yeah.
Tyler's now at a 5th grade reading level, which is really great.
I'm improving.
Goosebumps, you know, it's fucking Fifth Dimension. We should do that shit. Don't worry about what that is. We'll talk about it sometime, I guess.
My watch, it really depends on what you're going for. Like, I could recommend a really good...
Anything.
Halloween time.
A really good gory...
Just, we have many more more times we can do this, so.
I'm going to recommend From Hell.
Hell yeah, dude.
That's the story of Jack the Ripper with Johnny Depp is in it. He's like the detective.
John Depp.
We'll give you gore warnings if this is a gore one.
Yeah, this is a super gore one. Like, when I think of Halloween, this is what I think of. And it's weird, because I don't watch it unless it's October.
None of mine were gory ones, by the way. Unless the book was kind of fucked up. But not visually gory. Most of them are just little creeps.
And finally, a play I'm going to go with Dead Space 1. Just because,
good stuff.
It's one of my favorite all-time
good stuff
action third-person shooters.
One of the few horror games I've played.
Bar none, full stop, Dead Space 1 is one of the best horror games of all time.
Man, that freaks me the hell out.
It's one of the best horror games of all time. It's like one of the only really good space horror games I can think of. Yep. Right off the rip.
Like, those are two things that I'm afraid of. The dark and space.
Are you afraid of the dark? Well, the Midnight Society. Fucking LeBron James throwing chalk in his cab. Hands. Goes to the cab. Fuck, that one was scary. He was like, come and solve my riddle or you'll die forever.
The doll.
I'm your Uber driver.
The dollhouse in the attic. Mm.
That's the first episode of...
Yeah.
Are You Afraid of the Dark?
It is.
Fifth Dimension, baby. It's coming. guys, we have recommended like 9 things that you can watch.
Oh, yeah.
And play and listen to.
Now go do them and report back.
We have, Kevin had a Satan voice at one point. There was 2 10 word or less sick. A lot of stuff on Spooktober.
Full.
There was some laughs, there was some content, there was some...
If you were holding your little Tyler-colored candy jar that you carry around on...
Yes.
Tyler-colored?
Yeah, because you're Pumpkin Tyler this week.
Oh, right.
Candy handle, candy basket, it would be full to the brim. You'd have so many Reese's to trade, but you wouldn't because you're smart.
Because you're smart.
Don't ever.
Loyal.
Guys, when you're an adult, you can buy as many Reese's as you want. It's
Don't
crazy.
Tell them that.
No! Just go. Well,
I got to throw it out there, though. When Tyler and I did live together, we bought full-size candy bars every
year. I went to their house because trick-or-treating. I was like, yo, I want to be that guy who gives out full-size candy bars.
So he came to our house and gave them out. But he didn't buy them himself.
No. I'm very, very poor. We ran out quite quickly.
We did. Yeah, I was pissed.
I should have bought some more.
Just go to Sam's Club or something. They're not that expensive.
No, it's like,
they're
like, it's a like 40 bucks for 90.
Yeah, you're not going
to make
cry
a kid's night.
Yeah. Hell yeah. All right, guys. With that said,
I would like to give out a game for being so long here.
Oh, we know it. We're not that long, but there is a game. How about you hold on to that? While I do the social media, find something that's kind of spooky.
You got it.
And then Kevin will have a spicy game pack. We'll give away
Super
a game for the
cloud, but nope,
the start of Spooktober. If you want to reach us on social media, our Twitters. You can find the official show Twitter at SuperGameCast64. If you want to talk to me, Matt, it's at SGC64 Matt.
I'm at GingerBeard_man, beer like the beverage.
I'm at T. Tramaglio.
You can email us if you're someone who emails. I get emails from people, but not fans, because that's not really how that people engage on the internet anymore. Social media is a thing. But if you want to, SGC64mail. @gmail.com. Our Facebook fan group is always popping. Definitely want to join in on that. We got more and more people commenting. I'm loving the growth, guys. We're giving away free games all the goddamn time now. We talked about them earlier, but once again, Shonen Trash for your favorite anime stuff. You want some live actual play, right? It's an actual play.
Yep.
Choose My Own Adventure. We have good friends over there. I feel like I'm forgetting somebody. Shit.
Almost
Better Than Silence. Sorry, I clicked at the mic. Almost Better Than Silence. Doug and the Boys and the Girls and whoever. There's always guests on there. Hell yeah. I think that's kind of everything. The Instagram, @ SuperGameCast64. If you want to see that picture of Hagrid, it's out now. It's soon
we
as
got a comment on it.
Did we really? God damn it. Yeah. Good.
His name's
you?
Like Dentist 24 Hour or something.
Hell yeah, dude. Dental word.
It seems fake. But we got one.
It's usually bots on there anyways, so please come on in. If I didn't say it once again, the Facebook group, we gave away a free copy of, what the hell was it, for our 12th birthday? Human Fall Flat. Has anybody gotten the Batman? Hit us up on the thing. I feel like somebody, just inherently, if you put a code out into the internet in some form, it'll get taken. But I would like to hear that it was someone we love and care for and a big fan. Tyler, are you fresh on, ready for the... Or should we do the spicy game fact?
So I'd like to give out a game, and I ran across a couple things. I got like Killing Floor, Biozone, The Black Death, Quarantine, and Rage. I'm just not sure which one of these.
Ooh, do
or like Warhammer End of Times, Vermintide.
Yo, Vermintide is lit. Mm-hmm. 2 is lit too. You know what? I think one of the earlier ones that was more scary. Rage, hold on. We'll do Rage when Rage 2 comes out.
Okay.
So
that's a good idea.
Yeah,
hold on to that.
Yeah, you can hear that shit. If you'll wait.
Black Death, Biozone, Killing Floor.
Killing Floor. Killing Floor is a decent
Killing
time.
Floor is fun. It's like a hack and slash.
Right? Yeah, I don't know. All right. Okay, guys, get your computers ready. This is for Steam.
We're gonna do this where I say a word after the letter. I'm gonna say a word that starts.
You
with
all
the
have heard codes read. You know what we're doing here. Okay. Go for it.
So I got Henry 72 Beta 3 Elephant. What the hell is? What's a good word for I?
You know, there's
indigo.
Alpha. Indigo. Alpha 5.
You trying to do military code here?
Kite.
Yeah, there's a NATO code. Yeah.
What's a K? What's a K?
Kilo.
For? Kilo. J.
It's a oh shit. This has become not a code giveaway, but me trying to figure out. Remember
this
what
this fun?
No. JJ is Juliet.
2 Delta Juliet. There
yeah.
You go.
Yeah. All right. One more. Read it again.
Just read it letters this time.
Read it letters. But that was fun. Yeah. That was a fun exercise. I like that.
That was fun. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I lost it. There are 50
Kilo,
codes.
Kilo Juliet. What's the other one? Didn't they just change one? Laser? No.
Here you go.
Yeah.
H72B3EIIA5KJ2DJ.
EIEIO.
And on that farm, that was episode 112. Spicy game facts, though. You guys, right. These are spooky.
Harry Potter themed.
Nice. He was excited for this one about Dumbledore.
I'm so ready. All right. So first of all, I looked up the words Harry Potter game facts, and the people also asked.
Don't give away your research facts.
Just listen to this. The people also asked category first topic. What are Dumbledore's hobbies?
Yeah. What are Dumbledore's hobbies?
Naturally. Which revealed that his
Phoenix Care.
His full name, for those of you Harry Potter purists.
Yeah.
Albus Percival Wulfric.
Yep.
Brian.
Nerd.
Brian Dumbledore.
That's maybe I feel like J.K. Rowling had like a fucking friend named Brian. I was like, you should name me one of your like,
his right. hobbies. In
I
case
think
you
that's
were wondering,
actually, why?
Any guesses?
His hobbies.
What his hobbies are?
Phoenix raising.
That's why I said Phoenix.
That's a good guess.
The gay culture.
Wrong on both counts. However, Tyler was closer because it does involve
he
a
is
bird.
Gay!
But it does involve a bird.
Ten Flaming pin bird!
10-pin bowling.
10-pin
bowling. So, turkey. Also, chamber music.
Okay, the 10-pin bowling...
I buried the lead at this point. Go ahead. Go ahead. Say what you
10-pin bowling, I feel like he just cheats at.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
He just does it because he's
like Expelliarmus!
And Vaticadabra and just kills the fucking 12-year-old ball handler. All right.
Everything here's explodes. The buried lead. You know what his special abilities are?
Oh, man. No, but yes.
I mean, it says special abilities, but it's one special ability.
Okay.
Extremely powerful wizard.
No, really? You're telling me Dumbledore.
You don't say.
Was this on, like, the fucking fandom Wikia?
Pottermore.
How do you...
Is on Pottermore? Like, hey, Dumbledore.
Hey, you how know do what you... my special abilities are? Extremely powerful wizard.
How do you become a stronger wizard? Like, it's not a muscle.
You just try harder. You got to learn
like,
more
how
spells.
How does my Expelliarmus beat your Expelliarmus?
It's the same.
You enter the try-hard tournament.
The power of the bond between the wand and the wizard.
Wait a minute. The Tri-Wizard Tournament's only supposed to be 3 people. Why are there 4?
The Tri-Wizard Tournament's only supposed to be... God damn, you are right.
Tyler, did you sneak your fucking name into the Goblet of Fire
again? I done did it.
God damn it, Harry. Fucking A.
Why
you guys...
does Harry's name get drawn?
They never, that's cause the guy.
Because he's not alive. He's dead. Harry's actually dead.
Spoilers this has gone on too long.
Thank you so much for listening to this, this awesome blast off of Spooktober. I got spooked so much. Very scared. I hope you enjoyed that sweet, awesome, music cause there is no outro redux of it. I'm sorry. You know what? Fuck it. I'll play the intro again. Let's go, baby. All right. This, you guys have gained another level. If you've been following around, you're level 12 at this point. Kevin, I think you're level 15. Not you, Kevin, our host. Kevin, you know who you are in the fandom. Level 15. Keep track of that, or don't. I don't care. As always, imagine a world completely underwater. We love you. Goodbye.